resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Howdy, folks. I hope you all are having a pleasant Sunday. It's drizzly rain down here in the swamps, but it's a nice day out there. It's going to be in the 70s, so that's a pretty nice day. But I'm going to bring you some creepy stories this morning. I think it's pretty cool. I like this guy's reading of them. He does real good. And we'll see you on the other end of this.
Three friends would wander off into the Pine Barrens only to have a multitude of strange and disturbing experiences with supernatural beings they could not possibly comprehend. A reservoir with tons of deaths and missing persons cases attached to it, supposedly built on top of an ancient Indian burial ground, a host of strange supernatural beings residing in the Pine Barrens, and a strange UFO object seen by an Air Force pilot. You guys will not want to miss today's episode. Now, it was on this night that Sullivan and two of his friends, Alex and Ted, were just hanging around, spending time together, driving around in their car, just looking for things to do to go and hang out. And at some point or another, one of Sullivan's friends had mentioned, "Hey guys, we should go to this really cool lake that's located right between Central and North Jersey, and maybe just go down the trail, go and watch the sunset of the lake. It'll be a great time. It'll just be us guys." And so they all agreed unanimously that that would be a great idea. So acting quickly, they go over towards the parking area, they get out of their car, and they start towards the trailhead, on the trail towards where the lake would be. Now, at this point in the evening, the sun's kind of starting to set lower in the sky. They're surrounded by beautiful foliage, and they're all very stoked about getting to go down this trail to go hang out by the lake and just watch the sun slowly descend behind the horizon and just get to hang out in nature. I mean, who doesn't love that? And so while they're on the trail, they're kind of just laughing and joking and talking to each other. But Sullivan is already a little off-put because he has a lot of Native American blood in him, And of course, he felt that that really made him prone to other supernatural things trying to contact him, as well as being prone to sightings and encounters of the strange and supernatural. And as we're about to find out, folks, well, he wouldn't be wrong. So as they're on this trail walking and talking, Sullivan's Fred, Ted, decides to start bringing up the subject of the supernatural and cryptids and weird things like that to try and make it more spooky. And of course, they're still laughing and joking. And at one point or another, Ted decides to pull up some supposed Goatman sounds on his phone to really try and freak out his two friends, Alex and Sullivan. I mean, after all, they are on native land, so Ted figured maybe this might conjure something that is actually there. And of course, Ted is still messing around with them, and he says, "Hey guys, there's something up ahead of us," and the other two guys just call his bluff, and they're laughing at him. And as he's playing that Goatman sound like I described, Alex, the other friend, described how it sounded like a skinwalker. Now, apparently, according to Sullivan, that if you're on native land, you can't use that word because it will only draw attention to the group of people who apparently use that word. Sullivan clarified that they were the only three on the trail that evening. There was nobody else around them. There was nobody else visible behind or in front of them in any way. Nobody else in the woods. It was just them. It was very isolating. Not even 2 minutes after Alex had apparently used the word skinwalker to describe the sound of the Goatman recording, they all described witnessing this very slender, gaunt figure following them off in the distance behind them. Even Sullivan noted that it was very weird that it just kind of came out of nowhere, and none of them had ever recalled hearing footsteps or rustling in the bushes, nothing. It's as if whatever or whoever this was maintaining perfect silence while following these three boys. Now keep in mind that it was only momentarily that Sullivan first saw it, in which the other two responded to him looking, and they all saw it together. Now, what's also interesting is that Alex and Ted noted how, as soon as they saw it, they also smelt it. What they would describe as this rancid, putrid odor, which is completely synonymous to seeing a supernatural entity, or in this case, a skinwalker. Now, one thing they noted as they're trying to pick up their pace and move away from this thing is that it was moving very slowly. It seemed in no rush to catch up to these guys, and it was just kind of staying back, just kind of creeping its way along the trail, keeping its distance. And of course, you know, they were very disturbed by this, as anybody would be, and they really picked up their pace to try and keep more distance between them and this thing. And so after they had quickened their pace and had created a substantial amount of distance between whatever this thing was and them, they reached an area in the trail where it was more open. There was a road nearby with a lot of cars roaring through. And at this point, they all felt relatively safe that they can now slow their pace back to a normal speed and just leisurely go on as usual. Now, as they got to this point and realized their false sense of security, Sullivan decides to turn around to see how far away this thing is now, and to their horror, they realize that this thing now has caught up to them and is only roughly 100 feet away from them. Now, at this point, since they're only 100 feet away, they can make out a lot more of the details of it, which completely petrified them. And just like before, they noticed that as it was creeping its way closer and closer, it now picking up pace, they noticed it was not making any sounds as it moved, which seemed impossible due to the foliage and just the surroundings and the settings they were in. And judging by what they were looking at and what they saw, they decided to book it and not waste any more time, so they flee down the trail all the way back to their car, and they noticed that there were no other cars in the parking lot. They were the only ones there. So at this point, it kind of just rationalized in their brain that whoever was here has been in the woods for a little while, or it's a creeper, or someone's lurking around. Just things are not adding up. It's weird. And by the time they all raced back to their car, jumped in the car, and pulled out of there, they're looking, of course, out the windows and seeing if they could spot it. They can't. From their view, whatever it was that had followed them seems to have vanished entirely, or at least didn't follow them close enough to the end of the trail where it could be visibly seen. Now, on that note, fast forward 1 day later, and Sullivan was at home at his house walking his dogs outside, and as he's about to be done and take his dogs back in the house, he notices a cat coming out of the woods but heading directly towards him. Now, just having native blood in him and being a little wiser than most regular folk who aren't very well versed in the supernatural, he was very well aware that skinwalkers can take the form of just about any animal it wanted to. And so he's automatically paranoid, thinking that this is a skinwalker or something that I shouldn't be around. I don't know who this cat is or what it is. I want nothing to do with it. So he takes the dogs. He goes back inside. It's the end of that. Ring! Now, at that point, he gets a call from his good friend Ted, who he just hung out with the other day. You know, they went to that lake area, and they had that whole experience. And so apparently the plan was that Sullivan was going to go and pick up Ted in his car, bring him back to Sullivan's house, and they were just going to spend the rest of the night playing video games and just dinking around and just being buddies. Well, that kind of happened. And so Sullivan goes to pick up Ted, and Ted gets in the car. They go back to Sullivan's house. And as soon as they get back to the house, not out of the car, mind you, but just pulling up to the house, Ted is immediately like, you know, man, I can't do this. I don't want to be here. I'm just feeling immense amounts of dread. Something is really wrong. And so Sullivan is completely understanding of his feelings, and so they just decided to go and drive around for a little while and just try and maybe pass some time and hoping that those feelings do subside. Well, here is the creepiest part of the stories. You see, a few days after this is when Ted decides to tell Sullivan, you know, man, that night, just a few nights ago when we were supposed to play video games and hang out at your house, and I got that really dreadful feeling, well, I saw it outside your house, the same thing that we saw at that park. The being or animal or creature, whatever it is that you guys want to call it, what they described, what they saw was a gaunt, slender, humanoid form of some kind that apparently had no face, almost skeletal, and very, very tall. Even the descriptions right now are honestly giving me goosebumps. It is creeping me out because I've personally heard many stories about this same sort of entity that these guys had encountered. Now, Sullivan firmly believes that what they encountered, due to the name Skinwalker being used on native land, that it was indeed a shape-shifting witch of some kind, or who knows, it could be some sort of other supernatural entity. There is no conclusion. And this part of the story is left a mystery. But the plot continues to deepen because this is not where the circle of the supernatural ends, ladies and gentlemen. One of Sullivan's good friends, whom he calls Harold, saw what he can describe as a wolf-like creature similar to what they saw at the park. Now, what's very interesting is that Sullivan's friend Harold actually had this experience in the Pine Barrens. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the Pine Barrens, it is a very large forested area located in New Jersey, and the Pine Barrens is home to all sorts of crazy supernatural things and sightings and happenings. The Jersey Devil is probably one of the most infamous things to have come out of the Pine Barrens. Many people, almost I think every year, have some sort of story or sighting of this creature, not to mention the mass amount of UFO sightings and just other strange supernatural, dare I say, missing 411 phenomena, things that can't really be explained, and a host of other things like Dogman, Bigfoot. I can go on and on, folks. You get the idea. The Pine Barrens is a very strange place. So when I personally read that his friend had a strange sighting he couldn't explain in this particular area, I knew they were onto something. Something, in my opinion, that makes Harold a little bit more credible than just a regular Joe Blow is that, like many of the hikers and outdoorsmen who've experienced strange things, is very well versed in the outdoors. In fact, I would say probably more so than some of these other cats who've had experiences, judging by the fact that they actually graduated with a bachelor's degree in environmental science and have spent copious amounts of hours in their free time hiking and just traversing all through the New Jersey wilderness. Harold even worked as a naturalist in the Batstow Village in Wharton State Forest for a little bit of time, which, for those that don't know, is actually the largest state forest within the New Jersey Pine Barrens. And as a matter of fact, got into an internship there and was then given a job before his internship ended with them because of his advanced knowledge of all the flora and fauna that surrounded them. Now, why is this important? Well, because Harold is a very analytical, rational kind of person. And then this is somebody who, when they see an animal out in the woods, 100% of the time, they're so well versed in the outdoors that they can pretty much identify what animal this is. And while they are open, they being Harold, to the idea that, you know, cryptids could be a thing and that if the biological ecosystem can support it, sure, why not? But the whole supernatural aspect of it and a bipedal canine just seemed far too far-fetched for Harold to wrap his mind around. And so one evening, Harold decided to go hang out with his two buddies, Chris and Alan, who were busy off-roading in an area near Manchester, New Jersey. Now, Harold can't exactly recall the specific area this was in, but it was close to the abandoned brick factory. Now, of course, with this, they were hanging out with other friends and just having fun doing some off-roading in and around the dirt trails of this area, just having a blast hanging out and not worrying about school or jobs or women or anything of that sort. Harold was also completely sober and did not partake in any alcohol or cannabis. He was also in the truck with his friend Alan, who was also completely sober, and their friend Chris, who was sitting in the back, who had partook in a little bit of cannabis, so he was just a little bit high, but still very functional, still very much grounded in reality. And so keep in mind that they're getting ready to leave, and they're going to head back to the main road, but they're still off-roading. And so Harold is driving, and so Alan, his friend, is like, hey, as we're driving, just make sure you keep a lookout for deer, because as we all know, guys, deers do have a tendency to jump out right in the middle of the road, and bam, well, you either get a totaled car or a dead deer or probably both. Now, keep in mind as well that the dirt path they were driving on was also fairly open. I mean, we're talking roughly about 30 feet from side of the road to the other side of the road. And they're about slap dab in the middle, so if a deer happened to jump out, well, they would have time to respond appropriately. Now, as Harold is driving the truck and they're on this dirt road going down, Harold spots something off to his left out of his peripheral vision, and all he could see is this large brown patch of fur, and he's thinking, oh crap, it's a deer, it's totally going to jump out and try to commit suicide. So he's like, oh crap. So he's bracing himself to be ready for this deer to jump out, but then he notices that this deer suddenly picks up the pace, speeds up probably enough to where it can get about 20 feet ahead of the vehicle, still in the tree line, mind you, and then it finally, whoosh, bam, jumps right out in the middle of the dirt path in front of the oncoming truck. Now, as soon as it landed, bam, it literally cleared the rest of the dirt road within what Harold described would be about 2 or 3 steps, completely vanishing off into the opposite side of the road in the brush and the forest. Harold was completely taken aback because whatever this animal was, what he thought was a deer, actually landed on its hind legs and stood up and operated on 2 legs bipedally. Now, Harold can only really begin to guesstimate its height using his friend's lifted truck as a reference, but his guess is it was around 7 or 8 feet in height. And in just that short amount of time, he was able to make some very obvious observations about this animal, and that all over its body, it was covered in a dark brown fur, but notice that the chest and stomach area had a lighter coat of fur on it. And also noticed that the muscle definition was so pronounced, you could see it rippling all over its body. And in fact, he likened it to an Olympic runner's body. Very well toned, very well defined, not necessarily ripped out and buffed like in 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger, but very lean in tone. Now, he also went on to describe the head, which he described was a very large canine head, large wolf ears that were perked up, a very long snout, and eyes that he would describe would reflect this unnatural light unknown to the entirety of the animal kingdom, or at least the known animal kingdom. He would go on to describe its arms and how they were unnaturally long and just like a man's arms, with large hands, each with digited claws that looked like they could do some real severe damage. And of course, this is all within a few seconds of time, because as soon as this thing jumped out in the middle of the road, they slam on the brakes, they come to a screeching halt, this thing jumps in the opposite side of the woods, and they're all just thinking like, what the crap did we just see? And funny enough, Chris, who's in the back seat, says, "Listen, guys, I know I'm a little stoned, but what was that?" And so both Chris and Alan just look at Harold because they know he's the nature animal nerd. And they say, "Okay, nature boy, what did we just see? This has to be explainable. What is this?" And of course, Harold is sitting there about to literally crap bricks out of his pants. And he's thinking, "I don't know. I have no logical reasoning or explanation in any realm of science or the animal kingdom that I could put two and two together to explain what we just saw on this road. None of it makes sense." Now, what's interesting is Harold would speak about how his friend Alan, the guy with the truck, actually is a pretty stern atheist and completely refuses to believe in any supernatural hocus pocus and does not have anywhere near an open mind. But interestingly, this experience must have really spooked him because apparently he refuses to talk about it or even acknowledge it that it ever happened. And even now to this very day, Harold really struggles with the experience because in terms of science and biology, there is nothing that could remotely support this thing existing. But yet, they had the sighting, they had the experience, there's no way to logically explain what it is they saw that night. For Harold, it still remains a mystery. The story keeps going. You see, this next story involves another person in this large friend circle by the name of George, who him and his brother were really good friends with Harold from the last story. And George firmly believes that his account is very similar to that of Harold's, and what he saw, well, he believes it was the same thing. What's also very interesting is that George's sighting, or account, whatever you want to call it, takes place pretty much in the abandoned brick factory in Manchester, New Jersey. Now, for a little bit of backstory, George and his older brother and Harold had already hung out all together at this same location, and Harold had warned him to never come back here at night because I guess Harold has had some pretty haunting, strange, and bizarre experiences before in the past that really bothered him. He really didn't feel that the area was safe to be in after dark, and he kept warning George and his brother, but George just thought he was trying to, you know, build drama and to really be like, "Ooh, it's spooky, don't come back here." So he kind of just was like, "Yeah, okay, whatever, you know, I'm still totally going to come back here at night," which he did, and that's part of the reason it led to his experience that I'm about to tell you. So one evening, George and a couple of his friends decide to go on the path that leads right to the abandoned brick factory, and as they make their way down there, they begin feeling this strange sensation that washes over them, a sensation like they shouldn't really be there and that they have eyes all around them watching them. It kind of makes a little antsy, like they shouldn't be there. And so George and his friends are getting really creeped out by this, and they're kind of looking around and they're looking for any reason that they feel this strange presence and they don't feel welcome. And so they're going down this path and they notice something out of place right up ahead on the path. It's something that George describes as being impossible to exist, but yet here it is right in front of them. This thing was just standing right in the middle of the pathway, looking at these guys standing there, all completely petrified in fear. And what George described was a tall, probably roughly 9 to 10 feet tall bipedal wolf-looking creature, glowing yellow eyes, large muscular body, almost identical to the description that Harold gave. But he described the head being much more similar to that of a wolf or a German shepherd. In fact, he even claimed that it reminded him more of an Egyptian jackal, kind of like the Anubis guardians, you know what I'm talking about. But of course, as he's seeing this, he's trying to rationalize it in his head, thinking like, "This can't be real. There's no way this is possible." And he's blinking his eyes. And of course, in the midst of that, because he thinks he's dreaming, his friends are also reacting to what he's seeing. So he's like, "Oh crap, this is real." And this thing's looking at him and kind of just moving very slowly, if not even moving at all, acting very predatory, almost beckoning them to come closer to it. It was almost as if it was waiting for the perfect moment to strike, almost staying perfectly still, waiting until they were close enough to do something. George felt like they were in complete and utter danger, that their lives were at stake, so all the friends decided to just turn and run as soon as this thing disappeared from any sort of visible sight around them. They have no idea if it had more sinister plans or what would have even took place had they ventured closer to this thing. Now, I just want to be clear here that in case you didn't know, the abandoned brick factory is actually located in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. Now, this particular abandoned brick factory is more commonly known as the Brooks Bray Brick Factory, and while it never fully went into operation, it was at one point or another in its heyday ready to pump out thousands of bricks a day, but unfortunately, its owner, William Kelly, died before that could happen, and his estate and the factory were completely frozen. So when you hear this kind of stuff happening, you start to think, okay, there's definitely something happening in the Pine Barrens, but what? We don't know. But whatever it is, it has been here for many, many years. Now, this next story is really interesting because, again, it stays within the circle of friends, as I like to call it. This is actually a story from Sullivan's girlfriend from back in 2018 when she was actually going door-to-door selling cable packages to the people in the town of Cape May, New Jersey. Now, fun little fact about this area is that the Cape May Wildlife Refuge area, which is kind of like a swampy, marshy forest area, is literally a stone's throw away from this area that she was in, if that gives any sort of idea to the things that she could or could not encounter in this area. I will leave that imaginative part up to you. Now, as she was going door to door trying to sell these cable and Wi-Fi packages to these small townsfolk, she just kept getting this feeling that things were off, that everybody was on, I don't want to say high alert, but that their guard was up, that something just wasn't right. It was just this really unsettling atmosphere to the whole town. And so she's just trying to get through her shift and get done with her route. And so she's chugging a Red Bull, just trying to power through this and get it done, despite how uncomfortable she currently is. And she, of course, for the life of her, could not figure out why so many of these people seemed on edge. What did they have to be on edge about? Now, because this area is so tiny and small, it is also very beautiful, very scenic, a lot of trees, a lot of nature. It is a nice little getaway town, if that was your sort of thing. Now, she describes that on the last bit of her route, she had to go through this peninsula because there was a few houses on it. And so she kind of had her snake her way on the route all the way down there, which required her to go down this very long road, past a summer camp, past a trailer park, past more woods, to where she would finally find herself in this open, kind of marshy, swampy area. And of course, you know, here there was some shore access and a couple of nice, smaller, expensive houses close by. Now, as she is going up to these houses, knocking on the door, giving them her pitch, she's kind of just in awe because these houses, not only are they very expensive, but she noted how each house kind of has its own theme, and she was just kind of taken aback and like, wow, like they really did a number to make sure that these houses had their own identity and a lot of money were put into them and they're really nice. But she also noticed while she's checking out these houses that the sun was only setting more and more and it was getting dark very, very quickly. And of course, being a smaller female with almost pretty much no cell service, this is pretty much just a bunch of red flags waiting to happen. For any shorter females out there, sorry, I'm not trying to call you short, you can only imagine how terrifying this would be to be put in this sort of situation. So she's thinking, you know what, I gotta end the route now. I really need to head back. I do not want to be stuck out here after dark by myself. Cell phone ain't working. This is not good. So she starts to walk back down the road towards her vehicle, and she immediately notices that something is off around her, that the woods and the air of the atmosphere is just so still and silent. It's almost so silent you could just jab it and stab it and cut it with the knife. It is that deathly quiet. I mean, I'm talking no crickets, no birds, nothing. All the noise and life and sounds that she had heard upon coming in to check out this route and the houses that were there were now gone. Now, she's making a mental note of this, walking around and thinking, like, where did all the sounds go? She immediately gets this sensation wash over her that she's being watched. and immediately she gets the chills, like something really bad is about to happen. She could feel the dread in her gut. Now, of course, being a shorter female in this area, you can only imagine all the things that are probably running through this poor girl's mind, like, I'm gonna get murdered, something really bad is about to happen. And as she's trying to process what's going on, she notices a large animal up ahead kind of wander into the middle of the road. And because the sunlight at this point is practically dying, no pun intended, she's having a really hard time making out what it is directly in front of her. Is it a bear? Is it a dog? No, but she's really confused because as she's staring at whatever animal this is, she notes how large it is. And is confused because it doesn't have the shape of a bear, but dogs don't get this big, so what could this be? And as she's also looking at this thing, observing it, she's noticed that this thing has not noticed her. And within seconds, this thing turns its head and faces towards her because it has now noticed her. Now, I want to reiterate here that the amount of light had died down so much that she couldn't really make out a lot of details. I mean, specifics, like what its face looked like. But she did get a pretty good idea of the outline, and her best description was that this was not a black bear, even though it matched the size of an extremely large black bear. But her description is that it looked like a large wolf on steroids, and that its outline, especially the head, was very similar to that of a wolf or a German shepherd, and the snout was also very long. And so she realizes that the only sound at this point that she could even remotely hear is the sound of her palpitating heart, and her breath is starting to quicken and hasten, and she's starting to feel the adrenaline course through her blood, and she's not sure what's about to happen. All she knows is that she's looking at some unidentified wild animal that does not fit the flora and fauna of New Jersey's wilderness. But she recalls that she took control of the situation and claimed that, you know what, she didn't even know how big coyotes are supposed to get, and somehow convinced herself that what she was looking at due to the poor lighting conditions was maybe just an oversized coyote or a big dog. And in fact, big dogs or oversized coyotes can hopefully be scared off by obnoxious loud noises, right? So without wanting to stand there any longer, because she did not want to come off as aggressive or territorial to this thing, I mean, she didn't even know if it was in her territory to begin with, that would not be good. So she starts making the most hideous, loudest, obnoxious, screaming noises she possibly could to try and make herself seem like she could chase it away. And as soon as she did this, she noticed that its demeanor and body language changed almost immediately to the defensive, and then quickly took off in the woods behind her. And the way she would describe it was if this thing had looked at her and decided that she really wasn't worth its time, and so it decided to leave. And so upon this, she quickly turns around and takes her golden opportunity and flees back down the road, the area in which she came, you know, where the shoreline access is and the three houses, hoping for some sort of solace away from whatever unknown animal this was. And so she's sprinting down the road, running all the way to where she comes to the summer camp area, and actually notices that there is a street light shining right above a picnic table. And so she takes this as a great opportunity to jump up on the table, catch her breath, and she's sitting there holding her body. She's terrified out of her mind, and she's breathing and panting, and she's looking at the woods around her, just waiting to see the silhouette of that thing appear and come after her. And so she's just in anticipation of getting ready to die, basically. Now, she's sitting there for a few moments, catching her breath. She realizes she's actually really close to the next house that she was scheduled to visit. So when the coast is clear, she quickly gets off the table and runs full speed towards this house. Now, upon getting to the door, you know, she collects herself and cleans herself up and regains her composure. And what's nice for her is she met this really lovely family who actually ended up buying a Wi-Fi or cable package from her and made her feel very at home, very comfortable, enough so that she could actually start to talk about her experience that she just had. Now, here's where it gets really strange. The lady of the family, who she presumed to be the mother, kept saying, why would they send you out here by yourself? This is a very dangerous area. These woods are very dangerous at night, and there's a lot of creepy people around. You know how when people tell us things, you can kind of just read between the lines and pick up on their body language and their demeanor? Well, she did the same thing, and she would talk about how this lady really kind of was dropping hints that there's some unknown animal encounters in the area that can't be explained, and apparently there are a lot of ex-convicts in the area, as well as people who've done some pretty nasty things who should be arrested also in the area. What a lovely setting for a female at night. But this woman also expressed her concern that she was equally concerned about the people who lived and were around this area, and that this young woman should have never been here by herself at all. In fact, this woman was so concerned for this young woman's safety, she was like, you need to contact your team leader and have them pick you up right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. It is far too dangerous to go outside at this time, and if you have any other scheduled stops that you're supposed to do after our house, I strongly advise you do not do them. Your safety is more important. So it really makes her wonder when she looks back at it, did the townsfolk and people around there actually know about some of the strange animal encounters? Did they know about this supposed large canine that lived around in the woods? Is that why they were so tense and on edge? It's hard to say, but for her, the entire thing is still a mystery and cannot be explained. But one thing is certain, that judging by what this lady had told her, there are people in that area that do know things that are going on. It's just, they just don't really want to talk about it. Now, one of the last stories in this circle of friends actually goes back and circles back around to Ted, who had a sighting of his own in 2019. So this was sometime later in the year, and Ted was in his own bed, tossing and turning, just really suffering from a very sleepless night. He was very fatigued, very tired, and decided, you know what, maybe I should just get up, go to use the bathroom, go down to the kitchen, have myself a little snack. And that's exactly what he did. So he gets up out of bed, wanders over to the bathroom, does his business, makes his way down to the kitchen, is looking around, scrounging. He finds a good snack to eat and wanders his way towards the living room, apparently towards the back side of the house, which, by the way, is, I'm told, still on the second story of the house. And as he's looking out the back window, he notices movement in the backyard and notices that what he's looking at is something that completely defies any rational explanation. Now, it's a good thing to note that his backyard is huge and very open, and there's really nothing in it besides two trees, one of which had fallen down and had completely rotted. So the presence of this entity was very much attention grabbing. He noticed that a little bit past the rotted tree was this large, dark figure with what he would describe as glowing red eyes and a very large head and snout. And he would describe this thing's physique as extremely muscular, not like the whole Olympic bodybuilder, like I told you guys earlier, the whole lean athletic body. This thing was jacked, it was ripped. And in this case, I want you to think Arnold Schwarzenegger from the 1980s. I mean, this thing could just He also noted jet black fur, and that this thing seemed very angry and aggressive, that he had noticed it. Something interesting that he also noted was that it had something on its head. I'm not talking like a helmet or anything like that. I'm talking that it was either two things, that its ears were so long or that it had antlers of some kind. Either way, there was something there. But anyway, this creature took a sniff and looked directly at him up in the window. And upon catching his gaze looking at it, it got really aggressive, bared its teeth, and stood and stared right at him, standing up erect on two legs, before finally growling this deep primal growl and then bounding off over the fence down away into the woodline. And while he definitely recounted being completely terrified in the moment, at that point in his life, he had already had so many other supernatural experiences that he did recount being somewhat unfazed by it, because he's like, yeah, they're real. I know they're very real. This was just another confirmation that what I saw was one of these things. And since this experience was after the first, I can't help but personally wonder if that maybe somehow whatever entity he saw in the very first story had possibly attached itself to him, or if that even was a part of the equation. Or maybe some people just act as supernatural beacons, where they just have a host of all sorts of strange sightings and experiences that they can't explain. And over time, they have so many, like Ted, they just become I don't want to say desensitized, because that's not the right word. You're still terrified if you have these experiences, but it just happens so much that you kind of, like Ted describes, you just kind of become unfazed by it. Either way, there is no conclusive evidence that what he saw is a dogman, a supernatural entity, whatever you want to call it, it is still a mystery. And while we're on the topic of all these strange supernatural phenomena happening within New Jersey, I want to turn our attention to another very strange area also within New Jersey, the Round Valley Reservoir. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, since 1971, so many missing persons have occurred in this place, a multitude of disappearances, and at least 26 counted deaths, that it's actually earned the nickname the Bermuda Triangle of New Jersey, believe it or not. In fact, one of the first and most famous missing person cases in this reservoir area was Thomas Trimblett and his brother-in-law, Christopher, who were casually out just fishing, doing what any normal dudes would do on a beautiful day, out in their 12-foot aluminum boat, just enjoying the beautiful scenery and just hanging out and just having camaraderie, family camaraderie, when at some point or another, their boat just inexplicably capsized, and as you know it, their bodies were never recovered. Ever. In fact, after extensive search and rescue efforts were done, all they can find was two life jackets, an oar, some tackle. That was it. No sign of the bodies whatsoever. So it really makes you wonder what happened. How is that they just vanished without a trace? And it wasn't long after that that cases of people just not just vanishing, but mysteriously vanishing without a trace began to just trickle and pour in. And I want you guys to understand that this isn't just the reservoir causing this, it's the whole area surrounding it where these things are happening. In fact, things get even stranger because only 4 years after the disappearance of those two men in the fishing boat, two other men, Craig Steer and Andrew Fasanella, were walking casually along the northern shoreline where they just vanished without a trace. Literally in the blink of an eye, just gone. Nobody can find out what happened to them. Nobody can come up with any sort of rational explanation why they vanished, where they would have vanished to, but they never returned. And in fact, it was only a few days after that they had been reported missing is when their canoe washed on shore, completely empty, devoid of any signs or details of what could have happened to them or the whereabouts of their bodies. And to this day, just like the other two men in the 12-foot aluminum boat, no one has found their bodies. On March 14th, 1989, a man by the name of John Kubu and Albert Lawson also mysteriously vanished while on a fishing trip on this lake. Clearly, this reservoir isn't safe for fishing. Now, Lawson's body would eventually be recovered in 1993, but John's never was. Now, of course, from there, reports only get more and more bizarre, like this one. On October 22nd of 1993, a man by the name of Jeffrey Moore, who's only 27, and his good friend Raymond Barr were actually out on the lake for a very warm, wonderful, relaxing day of fishing, enjoying themselves, when completely out of nowhere, like the other two men, their boat just for whatever reason decides to completely capsize. But here is the strange part. The conditions in which they inexplicably capsized were very calm, very clear, and there were many other boaters around them that could clearly see what had happened. And so everybody in the vicinity completely panics, and one of the nearby boaters, of course, rushes over to try and give his aid, and he's actually able to pull up Barr from the water and rescue him. But Moore, for whatever reason, was nowhere to be found. Despite extensive searching of the entire area, it's as if his body just completely vanished. And even now, his body has never, ever been recovered. And for whatever reason, there's never been a single trace of him, or I should say, whatever became of him. Now, due to these strange mysteries, there has been so much time and attention and attempts to try and get to the bottom, no pun intended, of what is happening at the Round Valley Reservoir and why there are so many missing persons and deaths. In fact, many attempts to even locate any of the missing has yet to prove successful. In fact, the community was so baffled by this and so determined to get to the bottom of things that in 1977, a battery-powered submersible, which you would typically see these sort of things used for oil rigs, was actually brought out to the lake to look at the bottom in search of any of these missing bodies. I mean, certainly there has to be some trace of these fishermen. I mean, it's just not possible that they're disappearing without a trace. Now, I also want to state here that this submersible at the time in 1977 was completely state-of-the-art and at the time piloted by a very, very experienced seasoned operator, a man by the name of Andre Gallern, and this was also the same man who had worked with a deep sea explorer, Jacques Cousteau, and yet even after an entire week of draining, exhausting, searching all throughout the bottom of the reservoir, there were no bodies found. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew how to account for all these mysterious disappearances and deaths. It was completely baffling. However, fast forward almost 20 years later, and in 1999, there were state troopers who decided to get involved, and specifically ones who were trained in underwater recovery. And they would spend a lot of their time meticulously hunting for bodies in the very bottom of the lake and searching and scouring, but even these men could not find anything. And again, in 2006, the community refused to give up using another state-of-the-art submersible, but yet again, there was nothing. No remains of any kind were ever found. Now, I want you to keep in mind that there have also been extensive and numerous land search efforts going on as well, and a perfect example is when the water levels actually recede down, their search efforts would actually include cadaver dogs that cannot just sniff out, well, obviously cadavers, but, you know, things like pieces of bone, tissue, scraps of clothing that may or may not have belonged to any of the missing along this water line that was currently receding, and yet still, nothing gave results. However, it's not all doom and gloom, because as of 2013, there have been a few bodies, a few missing people that have actually been recovered. A perfect example is a fisherman by the name of Kenneth Roatin, who was 56, and was actually discovered in about 70 feet of water. Apparently, the story goes that the state police marine unit actually picked up a very strange anomalous reading on their sonar equipment, and so they immediately decided to go have it checked out and sent in recovery divers to look for what was sending this anomalous signal, and sure enough, they find his body. Now, the backstory on this particular fisherman is that apparently he had been fishing out in his canoe only roughly 20 or so yards away from the shore when he mysteriously vanished. Now, as to the state patrol and the divers who found his body, they're completely baffled as to how he had somehow fallen into the water. But maybe, just maybe, the lake isn't as supernatural as we might think. In 1989, there were actually two amateur divers who were roughly, at the time, about 50 or so feet down in the lake when they came upon the remains of a fisherman who had gone missing in 1976. And in fact, they ran across his entire human skeleton, and there's still little bits of tissue on him, and he was still in his rubber boots and bits of tattered clothing. It was pretty gruesome. And in fact, it was only roughly within 11 months from that same discovery that another fisherman who had vanished around that same time was also discovered in an almost identical state. Now, of course, just due to the very nature of all these strange disappearances and drownings and deaths, there's been a lot of speculation that this place is either cursed or haunted, or at least watched over by vengeful spirits of some kind. In fact, there are those who believe that this particular reservoir was actually constructed over sacred native burial grounds, and because of this defilement, is forever cursed with this sort of bad energy that surrounds it. Now, what's very interesting about this particular reservoir is that there's this legend that there's actually an entire ghost town at the bottom of the reservoir. And I'm talking like buildings, homes, fences, silos, roads, trees, I mean, you name it. And of course, this might be possible just because at the time, there was a lot of hesitancy from people in the area who refused to give up their land and sell it to the government. But the government wanted to go ahead and flood this area when they made plans for it to take care of the water shortage issue and put this reservoir into effect, so it is possible that things got flooded out. And that when the state did eventually move in and, you know, begin plucking up properties left and right, that residents possibly faced the worst ultimatum, that they either have to move their homes at their own expense, like the government usually does, or just leave them to rot, and in this case, underneath the reservoir. Now, personally, I seriously doubt that's even a thing, and that I seriously doubt that that would even contribute to any of the missing disappearances or deaths at all, but you never know. Now, one theory that I've heard is actually really interesting, and unfortunately, isn't as exciting as death, curses, and underwater ghosts, but it actually talks more about the geography of the area. For you see, this particular valley reservoir is actually right in the middle of what you describe as a circular valley. Now, this kind of valley actually gives way to producing what you could describe as these powerful gusts of wind that can be magnified within the confines of the reservoir. And these winds can get so powerful, they can get up to like 40 miles an hour or more, and are capable of whipping out of nowhere. And when you have these kind of sudden gusts of wind blowing through, this in turn could, I guess, produce surprising waves that could perhaps be responsible for some of these boats capsizing, maybe, maybe not. Now, one other thing to keep in mind, too, is that the lake itself is frigid. It is so very cold. And if you're talking about water that's near freezing, well, we all know how quickly hypothermia can kick in and just what it can do to the human body and how quickly it can kill you. I really don't think a lot of us need a science lesson on that. But the cold water could explain some of the mysterious disappearances, because you think, when the water's that cold, it could kind of fend off the gases that naturally come with decomposition. And when that happens, you know, bodies tend to float towards the surface. But if the water's that cold and decomposition is slowed down dramatically, then, well, the gases wouldn't normally allow the body to float, and instead they would just stay submerged, unlikely to ever be found. But come on, looking at things from the logical perspective is never fun or exciting. And while it's very possible the things I just listed could help explain some of the disappearances, it unfortunately doesn't explain all of them. And there are many more people that believe that there are evil entities at work, and that the entirety of the reservoir area is cursed, and that you are doomed to suffer a terrible fate, and of course you should approach at your own risk. Look, all I can personally say is there's something strange going on, because, alright, look, I will say this, that judging by the sheer volume of deaths and mysterious disappearances, I mean, it's even earned itself the nickname, like I said, the Bermuda Triangle of New Jersey. There's clearly something going on, but what? We don't know. It unfortunately remains a mystery. Now, moving away from the reservoir, I wanted to bring our attention back to the Pine Barrens just for a little bit and talk about some of the strange supernatural entities that are said to exist there. I mean, that's why you clicked on the video, right? Skinwalkers in New Jersey. I mean, come on, it's a no-brainer. We all love this stuff. What's interesting to me about the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, it is one of the most rural locations in all of New Jersey. But I guess that's not really saying a lot, because it's not like New Jersey's huge by any stretch of the means. The place just has this ominous, very ominous vibe. And speaking of ominous, is the legend that supposedly took place in this very location. Well, not this location, but the Pine Barrens. You see, the story goes like this, and that in 1735, a pregnant woman was about to give birth to her 13th child. In fact, her name was Mother Leeds, and actually cursed her soon-to-be-born child as the devil. Now, the story continues, and the legend has it that the baby came out of Mother Leeds looking relatively normal, like a sweet little baby, and then it grew into this monstrous demonic entity with a long outstretched head and long bat-like wings. And it flew around the room and eventually flew out off into the night sky to wreak havoc and do whatever demonic duties it was responsible for. But not before this demonic entity had completely slaughtered the midwife that had apparently helped bring this child into the world, and all the parents could do is just watch in horror as this sweet baby turned into this demonic terror and then fled out and was gone into the night. Now, what's most disturbing about the Jersey Devil is this wasn't just a one-time thing. Many people since then in the last 280 years alone have had countless sightings or supposed sightings of this same entity. And in fact, supposedly Joseph Bonaparte even had his own sighting. That and of course the whole area around the Pine Barrens has seen its fair share of strange phenomena that many people believe is directly tied to the Jersey Devil. I'm talking about things that are very in the realm of X-Files, strange noises, animal tracks that cannot be identified, dead livestock, farmers hearing things that go bump in the night that can't be explained, and just a host of other strange things that, again, are believed to be tied directly to the Jersey Devil. Now, if we fast forward a bit to 1909, the Jersey Devil would completely terrorize the entire community and resurface once more, because when it reappeared, it didn't just reappear once for one person or one family. It reappeared statewide and even into a little bit of eastern Pennsylvania. Apparently in Haddon Heights around the same time, a trolley car was reported being attacked by a strange demonic bat-like creature that many people saw and believed to be the Jersey Devil. And just across the Delaware River in Bristol, Pennsylvania, a similar situation had happened. Several police officers were firing at this flying demonic bat-like creature as it flew over, and they're shooting at it. People are screaming and freaking out. There's this unknown entity in the sky, and they don't know what it could be. Many of them assumed that it was the devil itself, and all of them noticed that their mere mortal bullets were having no effect on this creature, whatever it was. In fact, there were so many sightings of the Jersey Devil around this time that it caused mass panic. And similar to the 1967 collapse of the Silver Bridge in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and the whole Mothman thing, many people of the time believed that this was a harbinger of doom, death, and destruction to come. And it was so severe and shook the community so badly that schools closed, businesses closed, people were terrified to conduct social gatherings or any sort of business deals or even leave their house at all. It was a pretty big deal for the time, but unfortunately, or I guess for us, fortunately, we haven't had that sort of sighting since then. And of course, in the years past, we're at like 115 years now since then, there have been many people who have come along who've tried so hard to prove the Jersey Devil is a hoax, but have been unable to, because there have still been so many frequent sightings of seeing an entity like this in the area that many believe the Jersey Devil is alive and well. And of course, I can give you a several hour spending episode on the Jersey Devil alone, but I feel like this little tidbit of information is very appropriate for where it's at in this episode. Now, while we're on the topic of spiritual entities, not all of them are supposedly bad. In fact, many of the Quakers back in the day, many of them reported seeing what they would describe as a large white stag that they believed had good or godly spiritual powers or some sort of aura around it. Unfortunately, since the white stag isn't as exciting as the Jersey Devil, there's probably a lot more rational explanations for it, but back in the day, it was heavily seen as an omen of good fortune, or at least protection for some. Now, since we're on the topic of Pine Barrens, it couldn't be complete without talking about Big Ol' Red Eye. Now, if you're not familiar with the area, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but if you are, then you do. You see, back in the 1970s, residents of the area in the Pine Barrens and surrounding area became aware of some strange beast that they would recall as having large red eyes and this massive, hulking 8, 9, 10-foot-tall creature lurking in the woods that many believe was just an alpha male Bigfoot, but that it has very dangerous and sinister qualities to it. In fact, many would describe it emitting this horrendous demonic scream that will chill you to the bone when heard. And in fact, a man by the name of Tom Card, who is a retired park ranger, and at the time when he was working along with two other park rangers, they all heard this horrific scream emitted by this creature that sent them running to the hills. I mean, if you want to look at it geographically, there is over 2 million acres of forest land, so hiding in it would, well,
be pretty easy, I guess.
Wimitagunis, Lenape.
Now, what's also interesting to me is the Lenape tribe, otherwise more commonly known as the Delaware natives, spoke of a horrific creature that sounds pretty similar to Bigfoot. They would describe it as the Wimitagunis. Think of it like a dwarven Bigfoot, almost. Kind of their version of little people. And supposedly that if you kept your distance from them, they would tolerate you and be benevolent and everything would be okay, but if you got on their bad side, well, you can kind of see where this is going to go. And there's even a legend surrounding it that apparently a group of hunters had experienced these small, strange creatures one fall or winter when hunting. Apparently, a hunter had got lost from his group and wandered off, killed a deer in the process, and in the process of going to get the deer and he's looking for his companions, he hears this strange, mocking voice call out to him. And so he's carrying this deer, and he cannot for the life of him figure out where this disembodied voice is coming from. And he's crisscrossing the valley, he's looking all over, and finally, the legend goes that he gets so angry, he throws the deer down, and eventually comes face to face with one of these creatures, who apparently laughs in his face and claims that they only kept calling his name to see how long he would keep looking for it. Strange, isn't it? And lastly, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about an Air Force pilot who had a strange encounter with a UFO over Atlantic City in New Jersey back in 2018. Check this one out. Back in September 16th in 2018, an unidentified pilot was flying a Diamond DA-40 light aircraft when something strange and out of the ordinary had happened. He was at merely 2,000 feet above Atlantic City, New Jersey, and seen something that he couldn't, well, quite rationalize, what he would describe as a UFO. Now, at first, he just simply likened it to that of a weather balloon or something of some kind, but this thing actually climbed in elevation with him. He would even describe it having a strange V-shaped antenna coming off of it and a large payload at the bottom. He even went into detail how this supposed craft would actually outmaneuver his private plane. Even the air traffic controller would say, like, hey, you're kind of rattled by this, aren't you? Well, you're not the first one to experience this. Calm down. Now, I'm going to give full credit here to a website called The Drive, who did an amazing job dissecting every little piece of this down to the nitty-gritty, looking through every nook and cranny. Now, what's really interesting, again, credit to The Drive for this, is that there's actually FAA record of other strange UAS in the area. For those that don't know, UAS is Unmanned Aerial System. Now, there's actually a supposed connection here all the way to a man by the name of Riley Lee Martin. And this is a man who he claimed was abducted by aliens at the age of 7 in 1953. And his claim is that he was taken from his bedroom, I assume, in Arkansas, and taken to these aliens' mothership near the planet Saturn. Apparently, the story goes that he was then abducted a second time at the age of 18, where these supposed aliens had put a headset on him and had downloaded over 144,000 symbols into his brain. Also, but not limited to, the entire history of humanity, language, alien insights, and more. In fact, Riley would refer to these beings as Biavians, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and apparently they are from the Taurus constellation or somewhere in around there. I think specifically from the planet Biava. Now, this isn't some kook who just come out of the woodworks with a story to share. This is a very notable individual, and he's been on shows like the Howard Stern Show, Coast to Coast AM, and of course, the Jerry Springer Show, and even his own show. Unfortunately, he has since passed away in December of 2015. Going back real quick to this unidentified pilot and the supposed UFO that he saw, is it likely that he somehow just saw a military drone of some kind? But he doesn't think so. And the reason being is that the FAA spent a complete ludicrous amount of time really heavily studying and documenting it. So it really makes us wonder, why were they so interested in this supposed weather balloon or drone, and what exactly were its true intentions, and was it a UFO at all? It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Unfortunately, the conclusion is up in the air, and it's a mystery. And because you guys have made it this far into the episode, you guys have endured a lot. I want you to all comment down below, let's go to Joyzy, so that way I know who made it to the end of the episode. And if you guys enjoyed today's episode, be sure to go ahead and slap that like and subscribe button for more giant long episodes like this, because, you know, this is kind of an experiment. And, well, if this episode is well received and takes off, I might just be switching to these long formats because I can cover so much in them and, you know, more people see it. So that's always a plus. As always, I love you all. Keep an open mind, and I'll see you guys in the very next episode. Oh, and also, don't forget to like and subscribe. I don't know if I said that yet, but yeah, love you all. See you guys later.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that. I'm calling for the managers to join me. We're going to have a little talk this morning. So, about station stuff. Miss Lady Horses, join me.
Good morning.
Morning. Guess Willis said almost ready. I'll give you a nod when I'm ready. Mr. Rose joined us.
Really? Prove it.
Well, Skype says you have, and you know, I kind of trust Skype. I mean, they've never done me wrong. You know how they are.
Heck, we might not be on air at all. Who knows this day and age?
Okay.
The figment of our imagination.
Yeah, I hear you there now.
Don't we have more managers?
Willow will be here in a second.
Yeah, Willow's coming.
Oh. Good morning, everyone. Hope everybody's having a good day.
Yes.
I drove home without my wallet last night. I'm still sitting at work.
Well, that ain't a good thing.
As long as it's sitting there when you get there.
Yeah, it will be. It's I know where it's at, so it's not anything. It's in a locker, so.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
I walked out of there last night. I grabbed my coat and started out, set the alarm, and like, oh, fudge, now I can't go back in. So, that's all right.
Oops.
I just got to go down there and get it. It'll be there when I get there. Good thing I didn't get stopped for anything.
Well, yeah.
No wallet.
That's all
right. Yeah, good.
Well, I guess it's just going to be the four of us. Wait a minute. Well, that's... It said ready for Willow twice. That was a message. So... Folks, we are in a really bad situation. Yes. With the station right now. And if things don't change, come January, we are going to start charging the hosts.
So we were...
Not
we
much.
We were in discussions about it. And unfortunately, you know, this model is like the PBS model, right? You see, if you're ever watching PBS, they make these pleas for donations and sponsorships because that's what keeps them on the air. And we're kind of a similar model. We don't get any money from anybody except listeners, period. And occasionally maybe one of the managers or hosts or something, of course. But there are no sponsors. And even if we decided that we were going to go to, let's advertise, which we don't want to do. We don't really have anybody out there that would that's currently, first off, offering to say, hey, I'll sponsor you. We run my ads, number one. Number two, I mean, it's not the model we want to go to. And, of course, you know, we
want
to try.
Well, we don't want to charge the host either. No. I mean, but the donations has just suddenly just disappeared completely. It's been 2 weeks since I've gotten a donation in.
I think we are probably, I'm not sure, I might be wrong, but I think we're at least one of the only, if not the only, major network out there that has a lot of hosts and 24/7 programming, more or less, that does not charge their hosts.
Well, I can tell you this right now. This is the God's honest truth. I can count the hosts on one hand who donate to this station. One hand, and we got 90 hosts.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's we've tossed this kind of up in the air a few times during the year, earlier in the year as well, and I think even before that, because there have been times when we've gotten down to the pinch, and of course, the end of the year is always the worst because that's when a lot of the big bills are due.
Yeah,
right.
They go for annual, so they charge you annually.
Just the Anydesk and our Revolution.radio is over $500.
Yep. Right. And so, you know, we try to make a goal of somewhere around $2,000 a month, which...
it's not coming in.
It's not happening. And so we're probably going to have to shut down at least Hawk's Nest, at least for the time being. Hawk's Nest will probably go off the air. So it won't be any Hawk's Nest unless we have some miracle happen or something. But that's you know, honestly, the God's honest truth is we don't have the money to keep going. And unless we do something, we won't go at all. So, you know, we haven't come to a final conclusion yet. We are always and more than willing and open to any suggestions that anybody out there has, listeners, hosts. You know, people walking by. So if you want to call in and give us advice or, you know, then we're open to that as well. Go ahead.
The one thing is that the amount of time that we spend at this station, every one of the managers spend hours each week here doing stuff. Most people never see what we do.
A lot of it's behind scenes. Yep.
Right. And I personally can't afford to run this station out of pocket.
I can't either.
None of us can.
None of us can.
So it is a team effort, just like the management. You know, each manager does a little something unique to them. It's a little different. You know, what I do is different from what Willow does, which is different from what AMAT does, which is, so we function as a pretty good team. The synergy is there. And
well, we wouldn't have lasted as long as we have.
That's right. Exactly. We don't always agree. And we do things by consensus, and we have long discussions, and we meet every week, and we try to keep the station at least up to par. Hopefully we've done a fair job through all the years, especially after, you know, Hawk's passing, of course. So, we are reaching out to the audience, reaching out to the hosts, and we're saying, hey, we need frickin' help.
We've also thought about charging for the archives again.
Yeah.
We haven't figured that all out yet, but, you know, we've got to come up with some.
Well, I don't really know how much traffic we get on the archives.
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
But, not sure either.
When I said charge the host, I wasn't saying we're going to charge $50-$60 a month. No, I'm talking about $5 or $10. And you could turn around and find one of your listeners who really like you ought to be able to sponsor your ass for $10.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't know if it's like, yeah, I mean, again, we haven't figured it all out.
That's the way yet before we, you know.
We know that there was other radio station, I think it was KCOR, charges somewhere around anywhere between 30 and 50 or more per show or something. I'm not sure if it was
per show. Yeah, per show. Yeah, it was, I think it was $35, and it was per show.
And we know that you know, it's not something that we want to do. So even if we do start this model of pay per show, again, like Amat said, it would be $5 or $10. And hopefully with enough hosts, I mean, we probably would lose some hosts. It probably was, I'm not paying a damn not. Okay. That's, but we just have to see how it works out.
And we're not saying per show either. We're saying per host.
Vermont.
If you got five shows, it'd still be the same as,
so, you know. Yeah. So if we
haven't worked out the logistics of any of this yet. This is all just up in the air. We decided to bring it to y'all, the people, and see what y'all think.
Yeah. And if you guys, you know, if there's anybody in the chat room, by the way, mechanic in there or anybody that wants to join, just put in the chat room, add me, and I'll pull you in. Any host or anybody, just come in the chat room and just say add me. We'll pull you in.
We are a truly unique station, actually, in my view. I mean, we started this year. We first started our first dedicated show for children.
That's true.
And I don't think there's any other stations, on the same level as us who are doing that kind of thing. You know, where we're sort of, okay, we want to focus on the younger generation as well. Here's a children's show. We offer a wide, wide variety of shows across the board about any topic. And that's the beauty of us. There's my weird.
Mechanic said, add him.
All right.
I mean, it's and truly global as well.
Yes, we are. I've just gotten to the point. I just don't know anymore. I just.
Okay, and we've been joined by one of our hosts, the mechanic. Was muted. Well, just popped in there.
Yeah, sorry, I had you guys on my phone and not even on the PC. So here's my take. I've had time to think about this because I knew this conversation was coming. So I've had time to think about this and to put my thoughts together on it. And I am absolutely happy to relinquish my time slots for somebody who's willing to pay for those time slots. Absolutely. If somebody out there can afford to come in and contribute to Rev Radio more than I can, which is nothing. I've given nothing to Revolution Radio except for my time.
You've given pretty good content. You've given really good content, and you brought a lot of people.
Yes.
And
I haven't given a dime, but I haven't given any money because I can barely. I'm month to month. My whole life is month to month. So
see now, somebody like you should be able to get a sponsor, no problem. People love you.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no sponsors coming my way, and I'm going to live in reality. If this station faces either, we either need to get hosts that can afford to pay or sponsors that can afford to sponsor and to stay on the air, I'd rather have Revolution Radio still on the air, still on the internet, still promoting content, still getting hosts out there, than lose it all together. So if it's the difference between filling my slot with somebody who can pay and keeping Rev Radio, I'm on that side.
Now, we're not saying it's cemented in any way.
I don't need to be – I talk enough. I run my mouth enough. I don't
now,
need
that's to not to say that you couldn't join. You know, if another host was paying and wanted to have, you know, you as a co-host or something, that would also work. So, you know, I mean – hosts can kind of, you know, also like if another host wanted to pick up the tab for you or something like that, pay it forward kind of thing.
Well, we don't even know we're going to do this.
Yeah, we don't even know. These are just things we're tossing.
That Hawk philosophically was against any type of sponsorship.
Corporate sponsorship.
It's sponsorship we're against.
I mean, if you had some mom-pa knitting storefront that threw you $100 a month. Is that considered totally sponsorship?
Well, I'm not gonna accept a show that wants to give me $100 a month to be on the air because there's some kind of attachment there on their part.
See, yeah, there's no cash. It's just money. There's no cash.
Well, if they're not coming in and telling us how to run the place, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. If somebody just wants to give us a sponsorship to keep us on the air, like PBS,
we could put a little banner up on the like we do with, or
we could say, you know, the following program has been sponsored by so and so and the blah 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 organization.
Yeah,
BlackRock has sponsored the Extendovite
people. They have a banner on our, and the banners are $25 a month, and they send us $25 a month for the banner that's on our state or on our site. The Extendovite people from Canada.
Yeah, Extendovite has always sponsored us, and they pay yearly.
Yeah, they do.
Actually, Hawk was getting paid for all them damn ads he had running during the shows. Come to find out.
But yeah, that's one of our, basically one
what
of our
happens,
sponsors.
You have other hosts here that run. There's a show here. I wouldn't call it a broadcast, but there's a show here that happens once a week in the middle of the week. Can't pinpoint the time, but it's a health product show. And I doubt the station gets any of that. I think it goes all the way to the host.
No.
It goes to the host.
Yep.
And you used to have Deagle on here that would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, them are replays.
Yeah, those are replays. But I like the Deagle, but all he would do is drop knowledge on supplements. So if you guys had a supplement store that would sponsor, and there's a lot of this going on. Supplements are kind of a big way to – if you look at a lot of the alternative media, Alex Jones is probably the number one selling supplements to finance his programming. This is a perfect network to get supplements to finance because we are kind of a alternative site to go to for your information. You don't have to really – the type of research you have to do to confirm what we say versus the type of research you have to do to disconfirm what they say – substantially different. So chances are you're going to find a little bit more truth here on revolution.radiofreedomsubs.org. Whereas if you go to the mainstream news, MSN, CNN, you're going to find yourself a bunch of botched, misguided, construed, missing a few details. And they get major sponsors.
We've got the disclaimer. That's all you need is the disclaimer.
Well, no, a disclaimer actually in court it isn't valid, believe it or not. You know, it just doesn't hold up. It's just it's but like hold my beer and watch this.
Like I feel kind of, you know, as a child when I was sitting in an office space and I had the principal, the teacher, the finance guy, the account, I had the police. When I had all these officials in the room, right now I kind of feel like I'm in the principal's office, and I got all the managers, and I got all the.
No, you're not.
I got all the shot callers. I got a great opportunity right now.
Anytime somebody has ever given us an idea, we've always discussed it.
Mechanic, you're.
We don't turn down ideas.
Shot callers in the yard, man.
You guys are shot callers. So where's Mr. Wayne? We got to get Mr. Wayne in here.
Yeah, he's probably sleeping.
Well, I really do believe that all the hosts should put their money where their mouth is.
Hey, Mona's with us. Hi, Mona.
I mean, I've been paying to this station for a long time.
Absolutely.
Because I believe that we are the ones that are going to be here to help make the changes that Mike fought so hard for.
Oh, yeah. we're doing everything we can, Mona. That's why we're here discussing this now.
I mean, our it is true, most of us, not to toot our own horn, but our hearts are in the right place. Not all of us agree. In fact, some of us get into arguments and get into little...
Well, that's okay, dude. That's what family does. Oh,
exactly.
It's, you can't say this is a family station. It's not.
Well, no, we are a family
in a way. I didn't say that.
The station... I mean, a lot of us consider each other an extended family, you know. I mean, for many people, the chat room and the people on the air and stuff are most of the communication that they may get during, you know, any particular time period. A lot of people are a little bit older and stuff and don't get out a whole lot. So it's not just the information. It's not just the quality and the stuff. It's just it. Also boils right down to just raw companionship and friendship and relations that have been built just from the existence of what Hawk built.
Right. Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to wake up, used to go to sleep, listening to this station. It started in 2014. I was desperate to get more information on the Bundy trial. The Bundy situation, and I couldn't get it. This is 2014. I couldn't get it. Like, all these mainstream news wouldn't show it. They, you know, they didn't. The coverage wasn't there. But man, I could tune in to YouTube and get on the live broadcast from, I think it was Camelot was doing a live broadcast. Yeah. You would have Jer-Bear. Jer-Bear actually went down there.
That's true.
He was doing broadcasts. I mean, I remember those days and hearing Hawk come on there. And then even at night, I would hear these roundtables, and I would think, man, I could run these roundtables. I would say to myself, I can run these roundtables, no problem. I could check that Jacker guy, no problem. You know, I said to myself time and time again that I could do a better job at running these roundtables. And it's not that I feel like I did a better job. I just felt like I had some organization to offer to it. And that's why I called in. I would love to see this thing.
I got thrown right to the shows, man. That's it. Okay, you can talk. You got a show.
Yeah, if you can talk, you got a show.
Thrown in at the deep end.
Yeah.
And it's all changed, and it's so nice to have such peace now that we really don't have the battles we had before. I mean, this station has grown into a beautiful place.
And we're always in the top, anywhere from 12 up on TalkStream Live and in the standings.
We've just come to an impasse where we just don't know. I mean... I know that we get about $600 from Patreon, and that doesn't cover the bills. It doesn't. It doesn't cover all the bills.
So that's what we're talking about, basically.
I'm pretty sure that I could get a sponsor if I started really pushing for it and saying, listen, it's the listener out there who gets
We know that we have thousands of listeners, and we understand a lot of you cannot give because, like Mechanic says, we're living month to month or paycheck to paycheck, and it's hard on all of us. I know it's an excuse, but even if it's $2, it's something. You know.
You tell me the rate. And because I've been here for 3.5 years, if we're going to have a candid conversation, we're going to put everything out of the table. We're going to be transparent here on Revolution Radio. Are there certain parameters that would come with paying? Is there certain technological benefits that would come with being a paying member? I currently do not have a promo. I currently am not advertised. Currently, people do not hear my name on the airwaves. I run two broadcasts a week.
That's a good suggestion.
I currently have no promotion.
Two things. You're first off, you can make your own if you want, and we'll put it in.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Number two, I think that, at least from my point of view, this is just my opinion. Maybe you guys can comment. If we went to a paying model and you're a paying host, absolutely. We'd have probably a checklist because we'd have to keep some records. And yeah, we would have a little check that says, does this host have a promo? And if it's not there, yeah, that would be on the list to go ahead and take care of. And I think
just so you know, Suri just went through every one of the shows in the last 2 weeks and has got a list of everything that's needed for the shows.
Yeah.
So promos, intros, ones that need to be changed because of the freedomslips.com.
Right.
So right now we're running off the free version and things are just kind of like, you know, they get done as they get done. But if we went to a model that is financial, I think that it would be a little more strict as far as from our point of view, we would be more strict on ourselves to make sure that, hey, you know, we've got a paying host here and they need a promo. Let's get that done. Yes.
Yep.
So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, you definitely.
Okay. Cool. I mean, down now there's some incentive. And I also want to bring on, I would want to bring on sponsors.
Sure, sure.
You know,
and
I would
and
want
that's not to say that you can't have your own personal, like, as long as the host obligation to the station is paid and if a sponsor wants to sponsor you personally, hey, we have no problem.
You could talk about your sponsor, you know, no problem.
You could advertise your own, you know, snowmobile melting service.
Yeah, Dietrich did that. He would, the lawn company that sponsored him, he would put a little blip in the show a couple times about the lawn care business.
Doesn't Wendy Granada do that as well in the very beginning of her show?
Granada does that, yes.
Yep.
It's like 15 minutes long.
I tell you what, I got the type of inspiration that part of the reason I'm here is because Hawk refused these corporate influential dictatorship sponsors. That's what typically comes down the line when you get a sponsor. You have to start
listening to them.
You can't have that. We can't have that subject matter on the air. Oh, hey, you can't talk about it. You can't say that. We're going to take away our sponsorship. It needs to be the opposite. We're going to remove our sponsorship if you don't accept free speech.
You know, the worst thing is that Hawk had it covered because YouTube covered it back when. And as soon as the scrutiny and the, come on, there's another word that we're being surveilled.
Censorship.
Right. That's what screwed most of it up. Because we are talking. We are not staying quiet. And we are so lucky to even still be on air.
Oh, I lost 5 years of shows because of YouTube.
How much money did we lose from YouTube?
Oh, God, quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Well, Painter and Rowe. Painter, Rowe, and Hijacker, I believe, were doing this broadcast with me. It was like my second year in. We were on YouTube, and we were doing reverse speech. We were playing back. Mr. Wayne was also on the air. It was on YouTube. I was simulcasting between Revolution Radio, Rumble, YouTube, BitChute. I think I was running four different platforms. Banned. 300 shows gone off YouTube. I was at my 928th. Follower. When you get 1,000 followers, you start to get paid on YouTube. All of that.
If you accept ads too, right?
All of that was gone.
Right.
By reverse speech, by simply speaking free. Now, here on Revolution Radio, we have an amazing opportunity. We do. We have an amazing opportunity. Not only can we dictate the tone of this station, we can dictate how we set the parameters, who we address. We should have a news. We should have a news break. I would say once an hour, maybe every other hour, a news break on the channel with somebody in the station, somebody on the server that's at home, partially retired, whatever, that can do a news break that people look forward to turning into. Oh, I got to get that news break. I got to catch that news break. And somebody doing the content.
Yeah,
something more to offer, right?
To be considered a news channel, you have to have so many hours a day dedicated to.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Dedicated to ongoing news.
Well, what is qualified as ongoing news? Current events?
Current events. Hawk was thinking about doing that. But it's not mainstream. It's not their narrative. And Hawk said to hell with that. He wasn't going to do all that. He was trying to get us press passes.
I think what we could do is we could, like, let's say if we kept Hawk's Nest, but we could air mainstream for the minimal amount of allotted time just to get qualified on the Hawk's Nest or something, and just have a certain time of day, like 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. or something, you get mainstream. You know, I mean, we do that with, like, well, this is not RBN, but Glenn Beck and stuff kind of thing.
Oh, Glenn.
Yeah, I don't remember. This was years ago now, so I don't remember real good, you know. But I know he got really pissed off about it because we were trying to figure out a way of getting us press passes.
Right. Now, I looked into press passes also, and technically anybody can get one.
Yeah, anybody can get one. The people are the press.
Yeah, they try to, you know, make it, you have to have an accredited one from the police or something, or a permit or blah, but it's all color of law.
Not the same. None of it's the same.
Or bounty.
Call it the COVID downward spiral. Nothing is the same.
Yeah.
That's what's hitting most of the problem, is that we've all been kicked off the course to the idea that we have to think that the mass media has the light, and it don't have the light.
Sponsorships. At this point, you can consider me a salesman for revolution.radiofreedomslips.com. I'm going to put efforts into...
We're not freedomslips.com.
Anymore.
Freedomslips.org. sorry. It's kind of been, you guys have had it on the air for a decade, you know.
I know.
So, freedomslips.org. I think if we can get these conservative-based, family-based, modeled... family-owned farm, a family-owned egg factory, egg farm, you know, a family-owned beef, family-owned ranch, you know. I'm an individual independent contractor here, and I think if I can get...
I don't have a problem doing a commercial ad on the front page, but it's... As is. You take us as we are. If you don't like us, go away.
Yeah, they'll have no role.
Our panties for anybody.
The sponsor, per the contract, will have no role. It'll be a limited contract. They'll have no role in the content of the radio station. They have no role in that, and that will have to be understood by any sponsor. They have no role in the say of content.
That's why that thing on the homepage where we get the studios is, or the place, whatever you want to call them. You know, we're $25 a month, man. And it's going all day long, $27.
And we've only got, two banners on? One banner. Everything else is Revolution Radio. We've got Extendovite on our banner site.
I mean, and that's reasonable. I mean, that's over reasonable.
Well, it's going to change because we're going to run the banners down the side of the page.
Right.
They're going to be smaller, but they're going to be a link. If you click on it, it'll take you to that website, and it will be a little cheaper. So, and this way we could possibly do a share swap with other stations, too.
Well, that's a thought.
Banner on ours and our banner on theirs.
If we can fill airtime on another station, we could co-opt sponsorship.
No, not doing it.
It just doesn't always work out, because I was with Cosmic Reality for a while, and they changed the systems where they wouldn't even cooperate together.
Mechanic, years ago, I used to go around to a lot of these stations and do appearances on them. Tell everybody about Revolution Radio, and I got into an argument with one lady one time, and they kicked me off the air. The next day, they went and changed the station's name to Revolution.2.0.
Stupid. Retarded. That's just no offense to the retards, but
I
used to go around to all these little music stations because I started out being a DJ.
Right.
So I don't have the answer, man, but I know that we have an incredible opportunity. Obviously, you guys know we have an incredible opportunity to really be a stakeholder in content, because content is being so limited right now. It's being so suppressed. Even, I mean, I'm surprised. I really am surprised I haven't got a knock on the door with some of my content, some of my language, you know, from Men in Black. Hey, yeah, we don't really like where your head's at right now, man. Now maybe you ought to go and get reeducated.
Don't call it, do you, buddy?
I'm not welcoming any of you clowns. So, you know, you're not welcome at my house. But the fact is we are one of the really sustaining. At 10 years, after 10 years, we're at the year 14 now. But after 10 years, you are what they call sustained entertainment in the United States. You're sustained entertainment. We give a certain level of entertainment value, and there's an advantage to us. It's not really, we don't claim to come and be entertaining. We try to bring truth.
Content. Yep, and truth.
Content. Yep. And truth. And if you're entertained by truth, then you get a double win. You get a double win.
I just play what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I'm so lazy.
I can name your content. Like, I know what I'm going to get when I tune in to Mona. And I look forward to it. I know what I'm going to get. You know, I don't have to go looking for High Wire anymore. I know where I'm going to find it. I don't got to go looking for J.P. Sears. I know where to get it. You know, so I could go through my thing in the morning, right, over here. I can go through my emotions here in the afternoon or whatever, and I got Mona there now. If I'm feeling philosophical and if I'm feeling, you know, I want to, you know, I think I'm just going to calm down here in the forest, in the woods, and stare at trees a little bit and listen to some poetry. You can turn on the A and you get a mixture of both. You get some poetry, you get some current affairs, you get the other side of the planet from me. You get a different interpretation of current affairs from her as well. That would be Willow in Studio A. So both Willow and Mona. Willow, I think you're only doing your 3 days a week, 4 days a week, right? Because you have shows.
It's on Thursday. This Willow is.
Yeah, Monday, Thursday, Saturdays. Yeah.
You're not every day now, but you have a show on Saturday now, too. And then at the row, you picked up another show. So I do believe that we bring something.
When did he pick up another show?
Didn't he do it? He does Tuesdays and Thursdays, right?
He does Mondays and Tuesdays on to Studio A for.
He does
Thursdays on B as well.
But
yeah, does. And he's on Sundays. He does really? The Row Lounge. Yep.
Well, yeah. My gosh, nobody told me.
He's
one of my favorite hosts.
And you don't think I'm paying attention. No. That's right. Okay. But yeah, I think we have an opportunity here to really seize. We have some new cats. We have some new cats that are really putting time and effort into bringing content. It's not like, do we have hosts here? Let's be real. They don't bring content. We have hosts here that come on.
That's me. I just play something and we talk.
They just wing it, or they play something and they don't do the research. And that's fine.
That's me.
That's my favorite.
But I'm trying to keep it a little bit light most of the time. It doesn't end up that way at the end of the show.
But you know, there's some things that are happening here that I'm pleased with, or that I don't agree with, but I'm still pleased with it. There's new content, there's new hosts. We got, in fact, I want to name a few of the new hosts that I think are doing a great job that you guys have brought on. They're doing a great job. They're doing a phenomenal job, and they're taking the time to put together real content, real interviews, real information. And they're dissecting the disinformation and the misinformation. That's Crip Rick.
Crip Rick and Jonathan, hell yeah. I was just going to say.
They do a good show. They do good shows. I replay them at night sometimes.
I don't always agree. And the fact that you guys are praising a flat earther is awesome. The fact that you guys are supporting a flat earther is great. I find that it's very stimulating that you're now opening up to this, because I've had that stance for years now, and I received quite a bit of flack for it. But now you're opening up, you're opening doors to other flat earth science, and that's great. I think that's great. Jonathan, shout out to Jonathan. Go ahead.
Y'all are high on something. That's all there is.
Cannon in the chat room made a comment I think is really telling, and it's truthful. Most of the hosts are not listeners.
Yeah,
that's like
I'm
us
listeners. I'm proud to be a listener.
Oh, I am. We do have our
hosts. I said most of them.
We do have hosts that they'll come. They do their show and they go. They don't come in chat room. They don't do any other interaction. They present a show and then they're gone until the next time.
And we have hosts that eat throughout the show. They're physically eating throughout their entire broadcast. I will turn that shit off. Annoying as hell. And I'm not going to call them out because that's part of the policy. But you know who you are. I love your content, bro. But when you start shoving grapes down your mouth, I leave. Not doing it, dude.
Sometimes we can't help ourselves.
No, come on. I'm disciplined enough. I try to avoid it. Sometimes I do it, but I try to avoid eating on air. I really do. I think it's just a bad sound.
Speaking of eating, I gotta go feed a goose.
I have to say, I'm mute. Even if I cough, I feel guilty if I accidentally cough that on air. You know?
Right. You're trying to, like, keep a clean show, right? And all these extra sounds that come with eating is just not appealing.
Yeah.
I'm just a feral hippie. I'm going to do what I got to do for the money that's being done.
It's typically not you, actually, Mona, that I'm talking about. But, again, there are...
Yeah, I've heard several hosts, too.
I suspect I know who you're talking about, yeah.
It's just not a good look, man. I'm an amateur. I'm the lowest guy in the totem pole. Like, who am I? I don't even have a promo. Like, I got no right to criticize anybody else's broadcast or content. But if we're gonna have this conversation, then I'm gonna take advantage of it, and I'm gonna share how I feel about a few things. And
I know that when Hawk passed, we managers scrambled because they froze his PayPal account, and that's where all the funds for the bills were. And I tell you what, there was been several of us managers that put money into this station to keep it going for the first couple months after his passing. And I personally still will put money in. If the bill's not going to be made, I make whatever is left of it. You guys don't know that, but I do. And it's just like, I can't do it anymore. I'm on a fixed income and I'm working part time and it don't pay. I got bills that I have to pay. I got mouths that I have to feed, and they're animals, but they're still mouths. So, you know, get rid of my animals. No. But, you know, it's coming down to the wire. We either do this or we don't.
I'm ready to get on the radio and do it for a living. I'm ready to do radio for a living. I mean, if hey, yo, out of the kitchen. If I can find some type of format that allows me to do that, and I can walk away from what I got, this, you know, not my business. I want to keep my business, but to not be working for someone else, to walk away from the corporate environment, I would love to do that. It'd be radio 40 hours a week. I don't care if it's production, if it's content gathering, if it's source verification. I don't care what it is. I would love to be a part of a radio network full time as a living.
We're willing to give you a reference.
Is there like some you know, person out there that has a few million extra dollars that would like to be an angel umbrella and basically, you know, just, you know, cover us in your umbrella blanket, and we'll do some of your suggestions, but remain, let the station remain, and we'll autonomously continue to run the whole station, and you still don't have to pay us, although that'd be nice too. And that's what we need. Some angel.
Like, Elon Musk to take over.
Yeah, give us an account and a Revolution Radio account that is used for, and you can audit it, and it's only used to pay the bills, and it's filled with a bunch of money and to keep us going for several years. And yeah,
I'll tell you, we've done a lot. We've done a lot since Hawk's gone. We totally upgraded everything.
Oh, it was some of it was a pain in the freaking ass. Sorry, but yeah, we have. And you know, unfortunately, part of the growing pains where we lost Freedom Slips because, you know, when somebody passes and their passwords are with them,
well,
and things that, you know, those kind of things
happen. We had no clue about that email address that he used. So we had no.
Go ahead,
Rob.
Oh, other than that, I think we've done a pretty good job, and we have actually, you know, completely upgraded the servers twice. We rewrote and redid the entire page. We redid the archives, you know, and we had to transfer everything into, you know, from Hawk's control because he was passed into so that we could manage it. And here we are today. But unfortunately, we know that, you know, times are tough, and of course, everything's so damn expensive that donations have dropped off, you know, and people have their own personal lives. But hopefully we evolve, and maybe we have new listeners out there that haven't been with us for 10 years or whatever. They've maybe been with us a year or two. You get a little bit of a history and how we've sustained ourselves. But, you know, this is a plea for help. This is a cry for help in the dark, because it's just not happening anymore. And maybe we need some new people out there, some fresh, you know, listeners that will step up and say, hey, you know, I haven't donated, but I get some pretty good information out of this. It occupies some of my time. I got an extra $50 this month, whatever it is, you know. That's all we're asking. And
December is our worst month. I mean, yes. It's been our worst month. We thought we'd have enough saved up by now. I mean, we usually do, but we don't this time. And of course, I'm sure COVID had something to do with it, and then Biden, the economy.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. So does Rev Radio have it in mind to charge the host before they will create a paywall for the content?
I'm not sure what you mean.
It seems that charging the host, because if we create a paywall for the listener, we can never charge the listening audience, right? We can never charge for extra content, for different content, for access to another station that has what?
The only thing we charge the listeners
bonus content
would just be archives, which is, that would be the only thing. We've thought about, like, I guess if a host wanted to have their own Patreon or something like that, and there are people that do that kind of thing, like some hosts broadcast on multiple platforms.
Nick wants on, Painter.
Oh. I'll
do what?
I'll grab him, man. Nick.
Oh, Nick.
But yeah, we're just taking suggestions. We're not really sure what, you know, format to take.
Yeah.
But I don't see paywalls as far as for listeners, no.
And no. Again, what kind of sponsors would we like to have as, you know, on our station?
It doesn't really matter.
You can't say it. That's not, that's
now,
not true.
The only thing we can have is something that is not FDC approved that you tell them to ingest.
Like, no, I want something more ethically sound. I want something with I want a product with conviction, integrity. I want a product that.
Well, I really don't want to be selling erection pills personally.
Okay.
Hey, we have a happy audience.
We've been joined.
I just want. If we're going to advertise, welcome, Nick. What do you got? What's on your mind? What do you got?
I'm just trying to fill out the donation page here.
get all that go through.
You need another zero. There are two more zeros. A couple more.
Okay, there we go. Now I got it.
But, I mean, maybe, you know, we were thinking about ways to expand if the money was coming in good and we didn't have to worry about bills. That's one reason why we looked at Roku and went on to Roku. I don't know if anybody uses that, but and we did consider possibly in the future some video stuff and maybe simulcasting to other platforms, but that's assuming that everything is running smooth with the station to keep it on the air.
We even thought about maybe doing some webinars.
That would be cool. Which would be like pay per webinar, like you have a special guest, like Alex Collier or whoever would be, and like have a few hour webinar for, you know, as an extra. So there's a lot of stuff we could do, but we just need to get the most basic stuff, keeping the website, keeping the archives, paying the electricity bill, paying the hosting services. You know, it's. And it adds up, the streaming and everything else. And that's the stuff we use on the back end to manage the system from remote locations and that kind of thing.
Okay, Cannon. You know, it's my understanding that you don't have a show, Cannon. You're not a broadcaster, Cannon. All due respect, you're not. This idea that if the listener doesn't get sponsors during their time slot, they lose the show? Mm-mm. They lose. So I don't get a donation on my 2-hour slot. I lose my show. Cannon, I got some news for you. You might be smoking that oregano rather than that.
No, I don't think that's the way he meant it. Cannon's pretty good. Cannon does donate. I got to admit that he does. He's probably going shush right now, but Cannon is a regular donator to the station.
Hey, Matt, tell me what I'm doing wrong, because I can't make – the donation ain't going through. I got all the way up to where you put in your card and information and all of that, and there, I don't see anything that just says, here, finish.
Are you going into donor box, direct payment? What are you going under?
Donor box.
Okay, let me look.
Maybe that's why we ain't been getting it.
I got everything filled out. It's just like I don't see one where it just says, you know, click and finish the whole process.
And you're on a regular PC, right? You're on a regular PC, Nick?
What's that?
You're on a regular PC?
I'm on Mac.
Mac, okay. The reason I ask is maybe there's a difference in like the format of the screen.
Sometimes there's a difference, and this is one of the things that I would like to kick Tim Cook in the balls for, is when depending on what browser you're using, sometimes things don't work.
Yeah.
And so then you have to switch to a whole different browser. You got to switch to Chrome or to Safari, and I don't really use either one of those. So if I'm on my regular browser, sometimes things don't go through, and that drives me up the damn wall.
So you've gone to the part, you put your card number in.
Yeah, I've got everything filled out. It's just, it's
And on the bottom, there's no bar on the top that says donate.
Yeah, but I click it, and it scrolls me back down and says, donate $20 a month. It's like, well, I don't want to set up a recurring thing.
What about below billing postal code? There's no big blue button there?
Yeah, it says donate $20 a month on a recurring basis. Okay, but I can't set up a recurring basis.
Oh, I see. It says you don't want to be recurring. Log in to edit your – you can log in to edit your recurring donation anytime. Now that,
all right, I'll just click that, and then I'll just deal with it afterwards. There we go. And I'm not a robot.
And say, donate $20 a month. And say, well, I don't
want to
set up a recurring thing.
Well, I hear a replay of it. It's
yeah.
Wally.
Yeah.
Hang on. I got to shut it off. It's on my phone.
Wally, as Art Bell would say, please turn down your radio, sir.
There we go. I just had to get it shut off. It was on my phone.
All right. I put it through. I'll
All right. Monster. Monster says in the chat room, sometimes he has to use a different browser to use a banking site.
Yeah. I've had that happen before. It's something to do with the way Mac is set up.
But I see. I'm.
Now, I'll tell you, that's one person that's behind the scenes that does a lot of work around here.
Man, yeah, we used Monster to have him as our producer.
Monster is, he does the websites, he does the automation, a lot of stuff that people take for granted. You know, nobody's like, you know, aware that, you know, to get a promo in there or whatever for your show, you know, that's Monster's the guy that does that, your breaks and all that kind of stuff. So shout out to Monster 3D3 for doing a bang up job.
Hey, since we're at it, hey, Monster, can you take out all the breaks of the High Council?
It's incredible. High Council.
Yes,
we don't have any breaks. 9 p.m. Pacific all the way through.
Yeah, just cut off all the breaks all the way through after 9 Pacific. That's it. No breaks. You don't need it. Done with the green room.
As long as you remember to ask for donation once in a while.
I do it every time. Every break I'm on, begging people for money to send it.
Well, he don't want breaks, so you can. That's what he's saying.
So well, yeah, you just everyone at the top of the hour, so you just mention, hey, you
we
know,
do we promos in the High Council. We do.
Yeah, I mean, Monster is he's an absolute hero. He really is. I mean, he hears from me every single day, the poor man. I mean, he's always got something from me waiting for him when he gets up in the morning. But, yeah, he's an absolute hero.
Also, you know, I was just looking at the donor wall, and I just want to shout out to James, Paul, Sally, Judy, Sosa, Shirley, Pauline, Pam, Lisa, Louis, Lazar, Mark West, Katie Bishop, Lunatic, Pack, Matthew Herbert, Lindy, Pauline, Robert, Phyllis, Bonella, Donald, Cindy, Guy, Blaine, Joanne, Cheryl, Shirley. All those people have donated. You know, some of them pretty substantial. I've seen $50, $100 donations in there. Again, thank you to everybody that's donated in any way.
Absolutely. You
know, appreciate mm-hmm. it. Absolutely. From
yeah, the now we don't mention it often enough, but we sure do appreciate the donation.
Yep.
Again, like I said, this radio station has forged friendships and relationships for people. And so it's gone above and beyond the call of duty as far as just being, at least to many of us, as being just a source of blah, blah, blah to keep the ears occupied. It's,
I believe Susie Q is a donor as well.
Oh, absolutely she is.
It's she is.
It's a companion maker. So shout out to everyone.
We've had several weddings from here.
What was that?
A couple of babies, a few babies
and marriages that came from this
hard to believe.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
You're telling me that
people have met each other, got married
through the chat room and
two different hosts.
Hosts, and we've got a couple of hosts that have been met their significant other here. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, hey, ladies, how you doing? 5'8", clean shaven head, yeah, nice beard, right? Cool dog, right? How's it going, ladies? How you doing?
My Grindr account is this.
Grindr.
The chat room. We'll go into a private room and.
Click me hard. Click.
We're going to the new model, everyone.
Click me harder, Daddy.
Well, you find out that you know they live near you. Mona found out one of her listeners lives near her the other day because he emailed her. He actually emailed us to give to her, and he said in the email that he lived near her. Have you followed it up, Mona?
She's still with us.
She must be off smoking a cigarette.
Just practicing herbal medicine.
If she comes back laughing, we'll know.
We, we're coming up to Christmas now as well. So, I mean, the memo will be going out to hosts about the Christmas and New Year's Eve parties in a couple of weeks. I mean, Christmas is always very important to the station as well. I mean, also the chat room. There's always somebody in there. Because Christmas sometimes, as we mentioned earlier, it can be a very lonely time for certain people, and the chat room is the only place where they, you know, a person can have companionship, or, you know, our voices on air are their companions as well. I mean, we do take this very seriously, and we do worry if we don't hear from people as well.
Yes, we do.
You know, it's funny because when I first came on the station, you know, I was just a listener, and I started calling into the late night roundtables because I felt like I knew the hosts, but they didn't know me. And I was like, I could relate with these people, and they're like, you know, I could be friends with these people, but they don't even know I exist. So if I want to get that extra part of acknowledgement back from, you know, and not just a one way thing, then I'm going to call in. And I started calling into the late night roundtables. That's how I got started. And then eventually, you know, Hawk saw, you want to be a host? Or no, actually, he asked me to be management after I was a host for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I got tired of yelling at the computer screen and nobody hearing me. This is defeating the purpose. Doing all this energy, you might as well get something out of it. Might as well bug somebody else.
Oh, the calls from Santa. Yeah, Cannon's talking about the calls from Santa. Yes.
Yeah, we used to do that, but the last two Christmas Eves has been a bomb.
Yep, it's been a bomb. It's just...
I can't imagine why. You know, since our present government doing such a great job.
Because I was hosting my thing.
No, I had nothing to do with you, Painter.
No,
just didn't get the people to participate, having their, you know, going to call the children. We had a ball though, calling the kids, talking to them about Christmas. So the year I was Mrs. Santa with SJ, that was hilarious because SJ was so dry. It's like, SJ, come on, ho.
He made the one kid cry.
Yeah, he did.
What'd he do? Tell him you're not getting anything this year?
Oh,
I don't know. I don't remember.
He was just being too technical. It's like, come on, be Santa. Be ho ho.
I think he was talking about something mechanical, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally broke
what's
a
on, that?
Did
you want on that toy car, son?
He was such a sweetheart.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody was interested in the, you know, the Santa calls again, just let us know. I mean, you know, we can contact Santa, I suppose.
Well, we have, if we're going to do something like that, it has to be done now, and the emails have to be sent to get the numbers and, you know.
Yeah, just let us know.
I mean, half of the numbers nobody answered.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That was a problem there.
I called my own we called my own grandchildren, and they were in the car looking at lights.
Well, oh, I'd do it as long as I could be like Al Bundy doing it.
Didn't we have Olive and Jer Bear one?
Oh, good grief. I was Mrs. Claus one. I think JP was was Mr. Claus. I think it was the Brits.
The British.
Yeah. The British Father Christmas and Mrs. Claus, yes. Bloody cold enough.
Willow, is JP still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked with JP not too long ago. He's doing well. He's still up there in the high north country.
Yeah, I've been in touch with him on Skype recently as well. Yeah, he's fine.
just don't hear from very much.
Yeah, we were discussing a little bit about Sean, by the way, who is, you know, he's in recovery. The last I heard about Sean David Morton, he was home, I believe, and Melissa was doing everything she can to be kind of a caregiver, and hopefully he's getting stronger. I haven't heard anything in the past couple of weeks, but, you know, after going through all the stuff that he went through and losing consciousness for a while, they even thought he might have gotten brain damage, but apparently not to the point where they thought. So if I do hear anything more, of course, I'll pass it on. But let's all send our prayers out to Sean, and hopefully he's getting stronger.
Yeah, we heard that when he came out of the coma, he was starting to do a lot better. We tried to get him on a Friday night show.
Well, he's at home now.
Yeah, yeah. So at least he's out of it. At least, didn't stick him in the hospital and start filling him up full of the death shot. You know, here you go, take this, so you don't get COVID.
Yeah, he's home, and yeah, as Rose said, Melissa is she's his primary caregiver, and they've recently, I think, become parents. So their cat has given birth to kittens, I saw on Facebook. So well, yeah, that's rather cute.
God, if he wasn't so far away, I'd buy one of them kittens from him. Well,
Very cute. They are very cute.
A friend of mine has two of them, and man, those cats are huge.
What kind?
They're Maine Coon cats, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, those things are gigantic.
Yeah. You got to do a lot of upkeep with them. This friend of mine that has them, they need to really brush them more. I mean, the hair is really long on them. But yeah, I've been keeping track of Sean, and I'm happy to hear that he's doing the best he can.
It was a close call from memory. I mean, because for a while, none of us were really sure what was happening because it was a close call.
Yeah, wasn't it? They were getting ready to pull the plug on him?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Anyway, any member of the family who's been lost as well, you'll notice on the homepage that the wonderful monster has actually ensured there's an in loving memory section on the homepage as well. We don't forget anybody who's been here. We don't. I mean, we look at the list is getting longer every year, sadly, as it does with the relentless march of time. But no one is forgotten here. No one.
Yep. No, we miss those that have gone. So.
There were a couple of them on there that caught me by surprise. A while back, because they used to be in the chat room all the time, and then it was just like, it's like, well, I didn't hear from him anymore, and then I see their name pop up on there.
Yeah, we make sure that we verify what the information first, rather than somebody just saying, well, we think so. We make sure we verify it first before we put the name up on there, because don't put somebody's name up on there and it turns out they're not. But it's
I check it every day to see if I'm there.
Didn't you remember when Hawk put up his wits on there at one point? Do you remember Nighthawk's wits?
Well, one person that hasn't resurfaced is Max Steele. Remember Max?
He wasn't around much, and that guy was kind of weird.
Yeah, he was. But they'd say he's dead, and then all of a sudden he surfaces, and then this last, apparently the last
time. Yeah, three times he supposedly died. Now, this last time, according to, what's his name there? Oh, shoot, my brain ain't working.
Bill
Grant, he did die.
Didn't Bill live next door to him for a while?
What?
Hey, Bill lived next door.
Bill Grant was on the air like 2 days ago.
Next door to each other.
Yeah, Bill Grant lived next door to Max Steele.
Oh.
Well, I think he was renting that place from Max, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
That's what I heard. He was renting a dumpy trailer from Max.
Bill, you out there calling? We were listening to Bill's show last night, I think, wasn't it?
Dreamer, right?
Yep, yeah, yep, he does. Yep.
Yep.
And he'll then be he's out on
tonight as well.
Tonight.
Yep. He's on tonight as
so,
well.
What's tonight? So that I'm clear. My broadcast is at 11 Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. Is there dead air between 9 and 11?
If that was Keith's show, yes, there is.
No, there's a new version of something else in there now. Why Not's got another round table between midnight and 2 a.m.
Yeah, Why Not comes in before me on Sundays.
Yep. Yep. Yep, he's on.
Why not?
I mean, we've had hosts returning as well. Feathers, she's returned with her Lovelution show. She's on Wednesdays now. Oh, we've got.
And I don't know if we want to say it, but we've got an old host that used to be a member of management that might return.
We will stick with that, won't we? That's all we're going to say. That's a spoiler.
So the people that have been around for a while, you may be in for a treat with an old familiar voice. That's all I'll say.
Yes,
By any chance, the initials SK?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hell no. Is it going to be that comedian chick that freaked out a while back?
No. This one, everybody will be absolutely over the moon. Really, seriously.
Well, we gotta make sure it's going to happen.
So we'll see.
We think it's going to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
See, we're trying to bring better things. Not better things. Now, let me rephrase that. But we're trying to bring more content.
And improve. Well, we're always trying to improve. I mean, we're open to
success. A new and improved formula.
A lot of the way things have been done, though, have worked. That's why we've been around for a while. We are, in a way, conservative and hesitant to make big changes because this is working. You know, it's like, hey, I mean, you don't fix it if it ain't broke. So, but like, you know, the funding now, of course, that's kind of, you know, that's what we've got to address.
Like I said, there's a big reason for it. I mean, the COVID problem and then Biden economics. I mean, it's understood. I mean, everything just went skyrocket.
I was looking at this article just now. Five guys, customer slams teen for charging her
$40
for two burgers, two shakes, and a french fries. That's it.
Where was this?
Five guys.
Five guys.
Five guys. Where, first? Though?
I don't see particularly.
I mean, because I went through a drive-through Burger King drive-through in California.
Oh,
in the San Fernando Valley. I got one burger and it cost $10 for the burger. Yeah. Nothing else.
Isn't that like something?
I don't think you're digesting the beef that comes out of Burger King, bro.
Well, this was a while ago.
I hope so.
Go figure out how much it costs now. I hardly ever go to.
Ain't even about the cost. I haven't had fast food in a decade, and it's my understanding that it's mostly plastic now.
Yeah, well, they had a thing on about the difference of the plastic rice and the real rice.
Oh yeah, the little plastic bits that they're selling as rice now.
Oh, it's more. It looks just like.
Hey, Nick, to answer your question, you have to sign into Patreon, not Revolution Radio.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure out how that whole thing works.
Hey, Lady Horse, did you get any of that snowstorm Ohio and New York got? Oh, she must have stepped out.
Yeah, I didn't get it. We are dry up here. We have a one.
I know. Yes. Yesterday I went to Tropical Smoothie, got two smoothies, and it was six.
1990. Yeah.
Okay. My gosh.
I go, on, I
I go to round table.
I couldn't believe it.
And I end up not ordering round table when I see the prices.
Yeah, I make my own smoothies.
You kind of look at it. You got to kind of look at it like this, though. With the prices being what they are in the fast food joints, it's probably going to be good for your health not to eat there anyway.
Well, a lot of these fast food places are going belly up. At least here in Michigan, the bankruptcy is going crazy here. So
this is all part of the reset. If nobody can afford to have the beef, then you won't be eating beef now, will you?
Well, true. You got to watch out what beef you can do now.
And as a matter of fact, the UN is coming out with a resolution or whatever you want to call it that says that the people in the United States need to cut their meat consumption anyway.
No, they need to revolt is what they need to do.
I was like, well, you know what? And something like that comes out, well, and buying me a steak.
If they don't want to eat the beef, they could stay out of the United States then, huh?
Pretty much. I'll go shoot me a deer, and I'll cook that thing up right in front of the UN building. So here you go.
I'm at the point where I give no shits about anything climate change or sustainability or any of that bullshit. It's all
kiss
bullshit.
My ass.
Any of that stuff. You want to save the planet? Shut the hell up.
You know, I had somebody try to tell me the other day. I'm at work, right? This young broad, she's trying to tell me, global warming is a situation where things gradually increase and we can start to see the stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Stop your thing.
Stop. Well,
you want to hear this? One of the biggest, most ironically stupid things I was reading this morning. They had a bunch of jets in Germany, private jets, on their way to a global warming conference. They got frozen on the runway.
This is great.
Yay. That was fabulous.
Yeah, that one jet, that Lear jet that was sitting on its tail because it was frozen
to the tarmac, bro. Frozen to the tarmac. Can't go to a global warming conference.
Yeah. I thought that was funny too, yeah.
That's hilarious.
And tell me about global warming. It's been snowing all night here and it's freaking freezing. Yeah.
We need more barrage in the CERN.
It's no longer warming, it's climate change. So that way they can include the cooling too.
But it's always changing.
Shoot, it's a nice 70 degrees outside here.
Yeah, it's like 60 right here. 50.
Man, it was 8 degrees a couple
of days ago. I was in 10 feet of snow. Last year at this time, we had a 10-foot base.
All right, it's about time I remind everybody we are totally listener supported and we need your money.
As if you didn't know already, if you didn't get
it. Yeah, I was just joking.
Seriously, folks, we do take crypto. We do. I set up a Cash App. Our tweets are RRTWEETS. There's obviously the ways to donate on the homepage. We have Patreon. You can send snail mail to Terry. If you send cash, wrap it in tinfoil. And yeah, go ahead, send cash. We'll take a chance. we're desperate. We'll send some gold bars or something like that. That's all good too, as long as it can be. Oh, by the way, if you do send money, try to make it U.S. currency, because I know that we have people in other countries. And I guess, Terry, at the bank.
I belong to a credit union, and they don't have a foreign exchange at the moment set up, whatever it is. So if you're sending me a check or money order, make sure it's in USD, United States dollar. I cannot – they are not accepting foreign currency or –
That's right.
Radio don't even use the big banks.
You know, and that's funny, too, because when I was growing up over on the East Coast, way up in New England, we would get Canadian coins in the change all the time. We would just spend them like regular money. Nobody cared.
Oh, now they'll take if I've got cash in hand, Canadian coin, they will exchange it for another quarter. But it's just as far as donations. Yeah. A check or a money order, they can't exchange the funds that way.
It has to be written out in dollars.
No,
yes,
I came out with saying we don't even use a regular big bank. We have a credit union. So, you know, I mean, that's how we are. We're grassroots to the core, and that's why we're so poor. And I didn't even mean to make that rhyme, but sometimes it just does. so
life is poetry.
So help us.
You're a poet and don't know it.
Yeah, we are. please help support us. It keeps us on the air. And, hey, you know, I mean, we're... Anyway.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah. I got a Joe Biden moment there.
Hey, by the way, did anybody see Sleepy Joe when he turned the lights on the Christmas tree? That definitely was not Joe Biden.
I didn't see it.
Oh, man.
I've seen that the tree fell down.
Yeah, I heard it fell.
Yeah, that was funny.
Twice it fell.
Talking about omen.
Yeah.
Got a big old hawk sitting on a house across the street from us.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but the way he walked off the stage and the way he skipped and hopped, that was not Joe Biden.
Oh, it's probably that double that paparazzi found. Probably the same guy.
And you, in the corner of the screen, you see in the teleprompter what he was reading too. That was quite. That's the first time I've ever seen a teleprompter on.
I didn't click on the article I seen, but I seen it said that Joe Biden said, "My Marines hold the button to destroy the world."
Oh yeah. When he said that,
the hell?
Yeah, I mean, you have the cutest little ears, Joe Biden. The hair on my legs in the swimming pool, Joe Biden.
The other
I mean, Joe Biden, dude. You think he's our president? You think this guy's running the country? Come on.
No, hell no.
Hey, watch him when he gets on Air Force One. That is not, I mean, it's Air Force One because he's supposedly the president, but that is not the normal Air Force One. Look at the pins in the sides of the door. Look at the seal on the side. It's got to be a retired doomsday.
He's not even in the White House. I think that whole thing's a green screen. I think that whole thing is a setup. I don't think we have a governing body right now, to be honest with you. I think the military.
That was a good idea. Yeah, we do. We got Trump. He's still calling the shots.
You think Trump's calling the shots? Okay, then I have Trump to blame for everything?
No, I don't think Trump's calling anything.
Hey, okay, exactly.
It's Obama, guys. Don't you know that?
Yeah, I don't know. That think tank is down the street. I mean, 80% of his people were from that think tank. I can't remember the name of it.
Well, he said it himself. If he had an opportunity for a third presidency, a third term from behind the scenes, he would do it. And I do believe they had a light bulb. Boom. They sat down and they worked it all out. They said, okay, we're going to put in an imposter, Joe Biden. We're going to have only those in the know at the swearing in. We won't have some big ceremony. He won't do a lot of speeches. He's not going to campaign. It's fine. We'll just have an imposter. Who's going to know any better? We'll have television. We can do it all through television.
He's gone.
Well, especially with the AI stuff they're coming up with now.
Right. Well, the AI can do anything. It's crazy, but you really got to pay attention because you can spot AI gifts. You can. You can spot the problems in AI.
Yeah, the six fingers is a dead giveaway.
Six fingers, you know. You know, so there's obviously issues.
Look at Kissinger. Kissinger died in April at 99.
Kissinger died in April. They're trying to tell us he died at 100. They wanted him to die at 100. That was the ritual.
Exactly that, but he died in April.
Yeah.
But it's a code for something.
I'm just happy he's dead.
Yeah, I was going to say
when he died, I'm just happy he's gone.
But he said the New World Order will have different constructs in different parts of the world. So it would be...
He's the one that said that he'd use food as a weapon.
Yeah,
and he said that the people of Los Angeles will be begging to have the National Guard in the streets.
They've had the National Guard in the streets there before.
He's probably right. By the way, our guy Stephen D. Kelly is still running for president.
Oh, please. No, don't say
really.
That's freaking hilarious. I get his Facebook updates on a regular basis.
Okay,
about Mr. Kelly. But he is absolutely right. I believe he's absolutely
right.
He's
right on the Getty? Yeah.
Getty.
Oh, yeah.
Give him that.
There's something
that's
the one. The one that had the show here.
Yeah.
That was the name that I brought up, or the initials.
A-R-U-G.
He's running for president of the United States.
And what party?
It is real. It is bona fide.
Well, he's got to get 60,000 signatures on a petition before he can even apply for the board.
Yeah. But what party is he running under, his own? Or
most likely independent, most likely, I'm imagining.
That's running for president is a business. Because whatever money you get donation wise and you pull out, you get to keep it.
The same thing for Congress too. I know people that have run for Congress and they got a lot of money in donations, and you know, there's a lot of paperwork involved in dissolving your committee and all of that, but once it's done, it's like, well, you just bank that cash.
You just bank the cash.
I mean, there's Chris Christie is not running for president because he thinks he's going to win. Okay.
Chris Christie doesn't run.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You can look at him and tell him he doesn't run.
Well, you know, no, I think he does, as long as you put that stick with the donut on the end of it right in front of him.
No, I don't even think that.
He'll run
anywhere. That dude has probably been given a medical order to not run. All right. Chris Christie, this dude is being paid to get in there and take votes away from Trump.
Right.
That's all this is. Same with that douchebag of a bride. What is her name?
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. Just go jump off a bridge somewhere, lady.
Or the warmonging Haley, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you are a warmongering, murderous, genocidal bitch, all right, honestly.
The only other one in the group that sounds any decent is Vivek Ramaswamy. The only problem with him is he's got ties to Big Pharma.
The only problem, bro? Let me play a clip. All right, I got something.
Vivek Ramaswamy was on Alex Jones the other day.
Yeah, I know. I heard.
Do you think that's his only problem? I'm appalled by this.
Okay, his biggest problem.
Let me play a clip. Vivek Ramaswamy is essentially plagiarizing Obama's entire campaign. You can watch side by side. Watch. Vivek is Obama. Obama is Vivek.
I don't trust the guy for a second.
I'm not going to listen to that voice. That's a scammer's voice.
Okay, check this out. This is insane. This is amazing. And I'm so glad I caught this. I'm so glad I caught this. Listen to this. I got the video. Tell me this is the link. Yeah, right. Here we go. So it might go into a commercial first.
They're saying that you're the Republican Obama.
Yeah, it's commercial first. Actually, no. Here we go.
Elements of that?
Yeah.
That I'm actually leaning into.
This has never been a Democratic or Republican idea.
These are not Democrat ideas or Republican ideas.
This is an American idea.
These are fundamentally American ideals.
Imagine they were driving a car and they drove it into the ditch.
If somebody has repeatedly crashed your car,
you can't have the keys back.
Do you want to turn over the keys to the same people who crashed it?
You said Russia in the 1980s or now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
I have a newsflash. The USSR does not exist anymore.
You know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
It fell back in 1990.
A skinny guy with a funny name.
Who the heck is this skinny guy with a funny last name?
But they sense deep in their bones.
I believe deep in my bones.
E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. We are one people.
I have a dream that we can be one people again.
So
just give me your Walmart gift card.
I mean, where else are you gonna find this kind of content right here? Revolution.radio, right? FreedomSlips.org.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't see that one before.
Yeah, you can't get on board with this clown.
I'm not on board with him. I never was.
Nobody can.
I saw somebody do an investigative report on him and his mom. They put up this quickie little company that they had, and they got a whole bunch of donations. They bought a drug from Pfizer. I don't remember which one it was off the top of my head, but they bought this from Pfizer. They marketed it. They knew it didn't work. They messed with the testing results. And then they dumped the stock just before they knew it was going to crash. Because people were, they put it out there and everybody thought they were great. And it then turns out that the damn drug doesn't work. They knew it didn't work. Made hundreds of millions of dollars on it and walked away. And yeah, I'm supposed to trust this guy because he's out there saying Trump's my man. It's like, get the hell out of town. We, people are not stupid. We can figure this. Like we Trump, can figure this out. Me. Okay.
People are stupid.
Oh, no, for a weird note, it's Ozzy Osbourne's birthday.
Happy birthday to the Ozman. Are they going to decorate the bat with happy how many
birthday.
Candles?
Happy birthday, Prince of Darkness.
Is it appropriate to say God bless Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
I think that's a legitimate question.
Some comedian, I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Jim Brewer, came up with, wouldn't the greatest GPS device be the one that had Ozzy Osbourne giving you directions?
Say something.
Like, I don't know where I am.
They use them at the train station, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I tried going through Jersey or New York with the speakers they got on those cars.
Yeah. Is it really 75? I'm just looking. Sorry, I was just saying, looking at his age, he's 75.
Yeah, he looks 100, doesn't he?
I'll tell you what. He's 75, crumbs. Where's he is going? Oh, God.
If tell you what, man, if you ate the head off a bat, if you married that woman, if you toured the way he did, if you were in the bands the way he was, if you engulfed the kind of products he put in his body. You're lucky to be alive at 75. What are you talking about? Right?
Some people didn't make it that far.
I saw that dude on four different occasions, right? I saw him at a show.
I met him.
In San Diego. I didn't meet him in person, but I saw him at a show in San Diego. He did a set with – it was awesome, and this was probably – James Dio's last couple of years, right? So he did a set down there in San Diego with the full band. So he had all the guys, Geezer Butler. He had the original lineup of Black Sabbath, right? So they're doing a gig, and they get to about an hour and a half in, and you can hear the tone in his voice change. Stops the show. Lights go on. On the stage, still dark in the background, minus the bonfires and the constant violence. He goes backstage for about what seems an eternity, but it's only like 5 to 7 minutes. And he comes back. He really didn't say much what he went and did, but his voice, 1,000% better. Like he was singing in the 70s again. He went back there and he took something.
Oh, yeah, he did most likely.
You know,
adrenochrome.
Who knows? But 75 years old. The dude has he outlived Lemmy.
Yeah, that's a thing. Well, Lemmy had cancer too, so that was a
Lemmy lived in a shoebox in North Hollywood, West Hollywood.
Yeah,
a shoebox in West Hollywood.
Dude, you would go down to the Rainbow on Sunset Strip.
Yeah, you'd hang out at the bar.
Yeah, there's the outside bar and the inside bar. And the outside bar, they had those little machines that he liked to play. You'd walk in there, and there he is just sitting down at the end of the bar chilling.
Yeah. Yeah, Lemmy.
But I worked on one of Ozzy Osbourne's videos, and that was in the early 90s, and you could see he was having issues then, you know, with his the way he was walking and everything. Cool guy, though. I mean, I got his autograph and everything, so, and all of that. But and he actually was, it was funny because we had to load these paint buckets up with dry ice, and we had it timed just when we had to pour the water in. We had it timed so the smoke would come out for the duration of the entire song. And so I'm sitting there grabbing dry ice with my bare hands and throwing them in, and he's standing up on the scaffolding right above me, and he's giving me look like I'm weird for doing that. Like, dude, you, the stuff you've ever done in your life, and you're looking at me strange. But he was a cool guy, though. He was pretty relaxed.
He was probably stoned, and it wasn't getting all the way through.
That was cool because I got to hang with, when I wasn't doing anything, I got to hang with the band back in the green room, and you know, Zach Wild and Mike Inez and Randy Castillo, I think.
So he was touring by himself. This was when it was just Ozzy. Okay.
Yeah, this is when he was doing his solo thing.
Yeah. I would have been super impressed if you met Geezer Butler, you know.
Oh, I would love to
meet Tony Iommi, right? I mean, holy. These guys are literally living legends. They're, in my view, Black Sabbath is more representative of the future of metal than, say, Led Zeppelin, say, Ozzy by himself. It was Black Sabbath, I believe, that brought metal to the forefront, a new genre, really, Deep Purple touched on it. Don't get me wrong. They touched on it. Iron Butterfly, they touched on it, right?
And I got a DeVito, baby.
I mean, Slayer literally did a whole album dedicated to, like, these early producers of metal and punk, and they did a remake of Inagata Devita. Slayer did.
You know how that song got its name the way it did, right?
Want a mystery to check out? Check out the mystery of the lead singer.
Yeah. Of Eden. Well, the story goes that the line was supposed to be "In the Garden of Eden," but he was so drunk when he was recording his vocals, it came out Inagata Devita.
He disappeared.
And they kept it.
And he worked at Area 51.
That would be an interesting place to go to. Except you can't even get within 30 miles of it now.
He said he was working on time travel. If you want to get into, you know, rock history, you should check it out.
Well, look at Skunk Baxter. You know, guy played with the Doobie Brothers and Steely Dan and all of that. That guy was a rocket scientist, literally, was a rocket scientist.
Yeah. A lot of them musicians are smarter than what you think they are.
Yeah. Everybody thinks they're all stupid, like the Motley Crue guys.
I got a question for you, you high-class thinkers. Does time go into another dimension if you go back and kill yourself?
No.
Is there a line? You go into another timeline.
Yeah, you'll split timelines.
Yeah, because you can't. In order to believe in time travel, you have to believe that you can't kill yourself.
You can't.
Well, yeah, that becomes a paradox.
Yeah, well, that and the fact that your past is already your past. Anything that you do is still your future. It doesn't matter if you're doing it back then or somewhere else.
Well, if you go back in time and kill yourself, how can you go back in time and kill yourself?
Yeah, you know what happens? You know what will happen if you go back in time and kill yourself? Nothing. Because if you kill yourself, well, then you weren't around to go back in time to kill yourself, so you didn't kill yourself.
The only thing that could happen is actually split the timeline and become another timeline.
Well, that's what it would have to be.
Okay, that's my point. What I want to say is...
What's the point, Daryl?
If you go back in time, basically, you're not going back in time. You're going back into a dimension, and if you kill yourself in that dimension, do you kill everyone in that dimension at the same time?
No, you will split time. You will split the timeline off. In one timeline, you'll never existed, but there you are. Off and running, doing something else.
What I'm saying is,
have any of you seen the movie?
Killing off that entire one spiral of that time, that one time.
No, you would. just one person wouldn't kill out the whole spiral. Have any of you heard, seen the movie One with Jet Li?
Yeah, I did a while ago.
Yep.
He jumps between dimensions and kills himself in each of these other dimensions in order to gain power.
It's in a way it's similar to Highlander.
He killed others and took their power.
He kills himself in all these different timelines to make himself powerful. It's kind of like
it's not different timelines, it's different dimensions.
Right, exactly. But in a way, it's similar to Highlander. You got to kill off all the other.
It's me breathing. It's not snoring. I apologize. It's me just trying to breathe.
No, I've heard that on what was it? On one of the nights when I had Wendy on the show, she actually fell asleep on the air, and you could hear her snoring. It was just like,
oh,
man.
Oh no, we got Deacon doing it. I think we got Deacon. We got a couple of people. So I might have fallen asleep once or twice out of the air.
No, I'm wide awake.
I just got lucky because I don't snore.
I fall asleep sometimes late on the late round table, but I have the mic off so you don't hear me. I just don't answer.
And you know, one snoring that used to be common is, I forget the name of that show, but they're those two guys and the one guy had a dog and, toward the end of the time they were on air on this network because the dog had passed away. But during their show, his dog would fall asleep and start snoring.
It's funny.
Lots of dogs snore.
A couple of mine do pretty good. If one of them snores so loud, he wakes himself up, and then he wakes me up.
He doesn't snore. It's like...
gals.
Hey,
there's something I wanted to mention. That wants to bark all the time.
There's something I wanted to mention that y'all were talking about. I don't remember her name, and I do not want to remember her name, but y'all referred to her as the comedy woman that used to have a show on here. She used to be a friend of mine on Facebook, right? And there was this Russian group, and when the war in Ukraine started, they defected and they moved to California, I think. But anyway, the name of the group was called Lil Big, and they had this music video called "Hateful Love," and at the very end of the music video, you know, the little, like in the entrance of stores, you know, the little, grab claw where you know, move it to grab prizes and try and put it in the chute. And, but this particular machine that was in this music video, there was like people's heads and the grab claw grabs the head and pulls it up, and it looked exactly like her. And I sent her a link to the music video, and boom, she unfriended me instantly.
Great story. Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, it really. Yeah.
Tell you, I was gripped.
I got a lot out of that.
Locked in.
I'm going to make a scene now.
And the only reason I even remember her is because she was on that TV show Last Comic Standing that I built sets for. The only takeaway that a lot of people got from her was she's weird.
Nasty.
Well, I'm telling you, you'll look up that music video by Lil Big, and the name of the music video was Hateful Love. And at the very end of that movie, music video, you look for yourself. You tell me that does not look exactly her same face. It looks exactly like her.
Big old crush on Stephen Kelly. No, I don't want
to. Yeah, kind of like other hosts that had crush.
You're talking about that one that went to Hawks Fest.
Oh, yeah. What a fiasco.
Yeah, the crazy one.
Yeah, that ain't who we're talking about.
No. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I was there. I saw a lot.
Nick was the comedian.
Huh?
Yeah, the blonde chick. Yeah, blonde. She was a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, that's not who we're talking about.
Terry Joyce. That's the one I'm talking about.
Terry Joyce, yeah, that's not who we're talking about.
Okay, okay, good.
I told you I didn't want to remember her name.
Well, there's just something you can't unhear, Daryl.
Yeah, I know. but I have a better doing with unhearing than unseen.
Yeah. I just close my eyes a lot so I don't see it.
Yep.
There's just a couple of things you can't close your eyes to, you know, and when you're living in a very dense town, very just, and I'm thinking mentally dense, not just popularity wise, they're just dense. And, you know, they lack discernment. They can't think for themselves. And I feel sometimes I'm walking around. I don't know whether to feel sorry or completely disregard 75% of my town.
You got to feel sorry for them because I'm in the same situation here.
So dumb. You know, I've given them so much information. How much more? I've given them so much information.
I don't feel sorry for them anymore because you can only tell them so much. The way you got to look at it is like, I can only explain it to you. I can't understand it for you.
Okay. Do I just shut up?
Last night, Ahmad played a rerun of this show from the end of February in 2021, if I remember right, and I listened to that entire replay of that show, and in there, Mechanic, I was giving you some big old kudos to that bus stop situation that you were in, where you got on the bus and they brought another bus in to take people away because they weren't going to move that bus until you put a mask on, you know. I still give you kudos for that.
Just about ridiculousness, right, Daryl? That's some of the ridiculousness from this this population up here. And I tell you what, let me add something to this while we're here before I forget. White lung syndrome. Okay? White lung syndrome.
Yeah, that's a new one.
It's not new. We need to be real clear about this. White lung syndrome is listed as an adverse effect from these bioweapons. Get up! Is an adverse effect from these bioweapons. And now they're having an outbreak of that very adverse effect in China, and they want to bring it over here. White lung. They're about to call this the white lung pneumonia or white lung flu pandemic or whatever it is. But it's not a new pandemic. This is literally an adverse effect from the bioweapon. It's listed. It's on the FDA website. It's on the CDC website. It's on my Twitter page. You can find it. I got it highlighted. The Mechanic 1776. You can go in there and read it. It is the viral pneumonia, something in Latin. It is literally the white lung, and it's nothing new. They've known about it. It's in the documents, and they want to come and cause a new pandemic here with it.
Right now, there's an outbreak of pneumonia with children
yeah.
in Ohio, I think.
Yep.
Well, there's just a kid that's supposedly in the United States that has the white lung.
Aren't they calling that the same thing?
Yeah, why's it got to be white lung? Isn't that pretty racist?
Really?
They already have a black lung disease.
Yeah, well, that's from coal miners. But how come they couldn't pick one of the other minorities, like yellow lung or red lung or brown lung? Why's it got to be white lung?
Well, you know, hey,
else gets to play that card, I get to play it too.
Well, back in my early days as a child on the farm, I remember we had a cow that came down with black leg and reported to the veterinarian, and then the veterinarian reported to the government, and they made us dig a pit and put that cow in that pit and pour all kinds of fuel and burn it, you know, until it was nothing, you know. Then later on, now it exists. The same disease has been, its name has been changed, and all the deer population is catching it. And it's called, I forget.
You're talking about wasting disease, are you?
Yes, yes.
Disease is prevalent in Michigan.
Yeah, it's pretty big too.
But originally it started from the cannibalism, you know, eating human brains, you know, the cannibals.
Well,
you know, it existed way back then, you know.
It was the cow feed that was made up of ground cows. It wasn't humans. It was ground
exactly.
Animals is where that came from, that they were putting in the feed.
You might get an idea out of that maybe you shouldn't be eating your own kind.
No kidding.
Well, you know, I look at all these deer hunters going out there and what they're dropping from the sky, you know, the animals, the fish, you know, even meat. It's just, I don't know what's going
on. Well, you know, all those chemtrails, you know, barium and aluminum and all that. Well, you know, the suspected thing, but who knows what they've been dropping upon us.
Exactly.
Well, there's still a lot of people that don't even believe that it's happening. And, you know, geoengineering, you know, you're a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, blah, you know, whatever. I picked up a document just last week from the United Kingdom that basically says it's called the regulation of geoengineering. And they go into detail about what they're dropping in because, you know, global warming. So we got to seed the clouds and put that crap up in the air to reflect the sunlight and trap the carbon dioxide and all that. Not to mention the fact that geoengineering is in the congressional budget here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And it's like, how are you guys going to keep denying this? Even Mike Murphy's first film, What in the World Are They Spraying? He went down to a scientific conference in San Diego and got the guys on video saying, yes, we are geoengineering. And yet people are still walking around saying, no, that's not happening. They're not even hiding it, and you just still don't believe it.
Yep.
Well, like 9/11, that's plain as simple as
there are things like electromagnetomechanics, you know, in nanotechnology operation and micro assemblers, molecular assemble memes, microelectrical mechanical systems, surface acoustic wave devices, FBAR film, bulk acoustic resonators, and biomemes and hybrid systems and the advancements of these intricate ways of electromagneto-electronic mechanics is being utilized in nanotechnology and micromachines all over the place. You might have heard of something called Project Maven. Project Maven, you can look that up, like Project Moonstruck, MK Ultra, Project Orion, MK Delta, MK Naomi, which are they're delving into areas like electronic brain implants, drug-induced behavior modification, electrostimulation of the brain, biochemical electromagnetic programming, and other technological approaches. My last show on Thursday and the previous Thursday goes deep into some of the methods that they're using. And I put in the chat room the documentation to back up the claims, the scientific articles, the mechanics of how these things are working. There is something that you might know as the aura.
That's actually the biofield. It's another body part that people don't even know exist. And they are already logging into people because you are a node. They use the LED headlights and the LED lights in your house as part of a secret network that's already in operation.
Hey, Mr. Rowe, I have one thing to say to you, is that I love your music and I love the way your brain thinks.
Okay, thanks, man. But yeah, go ahead. If you scroll back to the chat on Thursday night, you'll see a bunch of documents from various sources. And these are textbooks. These are college textbooks. These are technical reference manuals. It's the real deal on what kinds of people are working.
Not with. If you listen to Hijacker.
A lot of this stuff has to do with medical, biomedical sensors, because the big field, of course, is electronic bio. They can deliver drugs to you electronically now. They can program illnesses. They don't even need to inject people with stuff. This whole next COVID deal with the if it's got graphene, it's not a vaccine. That's just an advancement to the whole grid, the infrastructure that they're laying down right now. Everything's connected, from the blockchains to the COVID vaccines, to the hybrid systems, to the network that's been set up, to the street lights. They have magnets underneath the ground, and they also use the wires that they can see everybody's individual biosignature from space. The NRO has had satellites built by companies that, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, that can differentiate a human being from another human being just based on their biosignature. They can tell what kind of gas you have in your car from space. I mean, it's very sophisticated, advanced. And a lot of people have heard, you know, they're 50 years, 100 years ahead of state of the art. And that was like 50, 100 years ago, right? Imagine how far really this system is. I mean, if they're 50 years ahead of state of the art, that means when we were born, the technology exists today was probably already, for the most part, in existence, and it's just been gradually rolled out to the populace. That's how in the dark we're kept. That's why you see the same people with the bloodline names that have families that seem to be connected in everything. Like, I saw this thing about Gavin Newsom's wife was one of the accusers for Harvey Weinstein case or something ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, everybody's related. He's, of course, Nancy Pelosi's nephew. You know, everybody's connected at those higher levels. So don't trust any of it, man. It's
yep. Well, they know what you ate yesterday, and they know what you shit today. Over.
Yeah, they're now saying out in the public that they've got large language model AI that can read the electromagnetic brain waves of you, and like a prediction model, read your mind and predict what you're going to think, or yeah,
Minority Report movie was not. They didn't come up with that off the top of their head.
Right. And that was years ago. So talk about predictive programming, and then we wonder how things occur, how these coincidences. Well, if they're going along with a script, you know, if you've ever heard of Alfred Lamont Weber's Chronogarchy, that is also how Obama, every president in the modern age has known that they were going to be president, because it was seen back in time. The Chronogarchy rules through time. You know, I've talked about gravity waves, and you've probably heard of the chronovisor, where they can look back through the timelines and they can look through the future timelines. That's a thing. That's technology they work on. And so combining all of these things together, remote viewing and psychics and blah, 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 and quantifying the bio field, the aura, then, you know, they have a leg up on the rest of us as far as.
Ability. Isn't that like Looking Glass?
Looking Glass is another technology, yeah. It's just one more piece of one more group of technologies. There's Looking Glass, there's Gravity Lens, and then there's Chronovisor. And those are all methods of looking through time. Looking Glass, I don't know anything too much about. The only thing I know a little bit about is the Gravity Lens, because that was a TRW project for looking down the timeline. They can see about 10 hours. After 10 hours, the accuracy drops because there are so many timelines.
Well, that's kind of like Cliff High's web box, you know?
So they can see 10 hours in the future. They can see back years in the past. And the technology that supposedly the Chronogarchy has, according to Alfred Lamont Weber, and I have both his books, They can sort of travel through time. They can have a consciousness that travels through time. It gets really far out there. But when you look at all of the different things that's been going on, you know, at Montauk Project and the Philadelphia stuff, and you got to scratch your head and I wonder just how much are we, you know, in the dark about?
Most of it.
Oh, super dark. Super dark we are.
Most of it. I've been given no reason to believe that 12 years of government indoctrination gave me any intellect, gave me any type of a kernel knowledge, critical thinking. No, none of it. None of it. I got all of my critical thinking outside of school. All of my lessons outside of school. All of my real understanding, real comprehension outside of government schools. If you entrust your children to the state, essentially your enemy, because the state has left your interest for their own. You understand? The state no longer has, or maybe never has had, the interest of the public at hand.
Do you remember what Malcolm X said? Only a fool would let his enemy educate his kids.
Only a fool would allow his enemy to educate their children.
Well, government schooling is nothing but a brainwashing machine. Over.
And right now they're teaching children, if you're white, to hate your own race and that you are now part of the problem in the United States. So they're coming out. They're already willing to take a knee to this narrative. And then on the other side of that, other than white people are convinced that they're victims of white oppression. And this division starts early. And then if you add the pedophilia in the books, the supposedly new aggressive progressive sex education in schools, they're setting the tone for mass perversion in the youth. So now they come out perverted. They don't know the real facts about history. They're victimized or they're racist. They're coming out of college like this. They're coming out of high school like this with this attitude. And it appears that many of the youth have no real compassion, or they don't see other people as having a soul or being human or valuable. There's no value to them. So they're able to stab people in the public. They're able to rob and kill and desecrate, statues and monuments and this and that. They have no belonging. There's no feeling of belonging. There's no culture. These children that have been raised by the state in these schools and never got tested, like the parents never looked at the homework. The parents never examined the lectures. The parents never looked in depth of what my kids are being taught. And by the time their kids are radicalized, it's too late. The parents have already lost control. So now you got kids out there with knives. Anytime there's a problem or a conflict, they're ready to stab a dude in the neck, especially if they're white.
You know, my best education started when I dropped out of school at age 16. Over.
More tonight, 11 from midnight. So,
well, I went into Job Corps and that was a learning experience that I never would have gotten because all of a sudden I'm a little hick from North Dakota and I'm surrounded with all these people that has been given the choice that you either go to Job Corps, go in the Army, or go to jail. And being surrounded by that totally opposite culture that I was raised in learned me more than if I would have stayed in school ever, you know? Over.
Yeah. So,
well, A school is programming, it's indoctrinization. It's not, I mean, they just don't teach what needs to be taught. I mean, a kid come out of school can't even do a checkbook.
Can't read, can't write.
Can't read an analog clock. So all this is by design. They don't need independent thought. They don't need young people, middle-aged people walking around with the ability to think for themselves. Furthermore, the last thing they want is discernment. It's the very last thing they want. They got you thinking, they got the average household thinking in this country that Lucky Charms is better for you than steak and eggs.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms. Higher up on the food chain than steak, than butter, than eggs. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think part of it is to see, like, they know how ridiculous some of the stuff they put out is, and I think somebody's gauging the public's reaction. Like, will they buy this? And if they do, then we know that we've set the bar at a level that we know the stupidity of the general public. If they'll buy this, then we can go on with the next ridiculous falsehood, and they just keep piling those on top of them. And that's why they don't want anybody to have any critical thinking or look things up and just trust what the computer or the AI answer is going to be. Because there's
exactly. Exactly. They look at the last year's curriculum and how the response came from that last year's curriculum to decide how they're going to build the next year's curriculum. You know,
if they say something ridiculous and the general populace doesn't respond with outright revolt or at least, you know, a rebuttal to it, then they know that
the biggest problem is.
Go ahead.
The biggest problem is we allow the federal government to dictate what we teach our children in certain areas in order to get that tax money.
And public school is so easy to send your kids to. I mean, everybody's going the same school. It's close, right? I mean, who wants to go through the extra rigmarole of, oh, the time and effort to go to school, or research, I got to send my kid to home, or maybe I have to pay to send to a private school. It's easier to just send them off to the government to school and take my chances.
Well, you don't have much choice if you got to have both people having an income to make a $2,000 house payment.
If you can,
and most single parents nowadays, you know, they're depending on the government to make ends meet. You know.
What happened was at the beginning, everything used to be down to the county level. Then it went to the state level. Then the state went to the federal level. It should be at the county level still. Because you don't know what kind of jobs are needed in your county or in this county that you're in if they're teaching the shit that's needed in Detroit. You see what I'm saying?
They can't teach enough to learn from Detroit.
Well, you know, you get what I'm saying, because certain areas have certain. I mean, here a lot of people are agriculture, so they should be educated in agriculture.
But the problem is, painters, they don't stay in the community. They go off to find better life.
Well, if they don't want the agriculture, then they don't have to take it. But you'd be surprised how many would.
Oh, yeah.
You would always have, because a community grows and expands, you still have your core people who stay in the community.
We need more dissent, though. We need more. We need a lot of dissent. That's this guy Dallas is new to the chat over there in Matrix, but he brings up a good point with this video. That we need to globalize dissent. We need to boast dissent, levy it, get people on the page where their understanding of dissent is a good thing. It's not negative. Dissent is a good thing. Dissent is dissent will drive opportunity for change. And we need more of it. We need dissent in the millions per county in your little town, your big town, your half a million or your 5 million. The level of dissent, the level of uncompromising. You're not compromising. The attitude needs to be slightly hostile now. Your attitude, and look at these people with the money. They have nothing to lose, so they can talk however they want, right? Elon Musk, go F yourself. Dana White, F you for trying to tell me how to vote. Tucker Carlson, F you for telling me how to do my job, okay? They're all pushing back against the system.
You have to give Elon Musk a little bit of credit because just lately, you know, the advertisers, he told them to go F yourself.
Over. Yeah, I know.
That's yeah, well, that's what he just said.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you. If I could have my echo follow me wherever I go, it would be you. Okay, Daryl? It would be you. Elon Musk, what Elon Musk is doing, on one hand, is absolutely fabulous. On the other hand, the mother effer wants to put chips in your brain. He's got a car.
Well, I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think he wants to do it to everybody. I think he just wants to do it to people who want to do it.
I think he only wants to do it.
That's some type of justification?
And there are a lot of people who are willing to do stuff like that.
That's why it's got to be banned. That's why it's can't be banned.
I think he only wants to do it for the people who are like the disabled that cannot move their arms or legs or nothing, you know. And
so one globalist billionaire tells another globalist billionaire to F off, and all of a sudden we give this one globalist billionaire, because we like his side of things better, some major confidence. Like, come on. What are we talking about? We got a couple of pinhead globalists telling each other to F off, and we're going to celebrate them now?
My point is from what I see, the way his eyes look at this situation is he wants to help these people that are like paralyzed, and the only way they can do is move their eyes. But I mean, if they cannot even do that, you know, tap into the brain so they can use their brain to control.
How can you ask them permission if they want to do it or not, then?
True. But there's so many different ways to look at that situation, you know? That's just one way, is what I'm saying.
I support Elon's attempt to rein in free speech, you know, to make sure that it's still accessible and to some degree. He can't. He's got this broad who is a former financial advisor and marketing rep for the World Economic Forum, working for X now. And she keeps telling him, you know, you're going to lose advertisers, you're going to lose advertisers. And he's telling the world, X will go down the toilet as advertisers leave. And he will let it happen. They're going to purposely end X. And he's a player in this. He's a player in this. But he's going to save face. He's going to tell the world, hey,
well, they're the ones that banned X before he did, you know.
Here's a hint for you: X is
But he's allowing it. I'm shadow banned. I'm shadow banned, bro. And I'm not alone. There are millions like me that
Shadow banned on X.
Yeah, of course.
I'm kicked off. I'm permanently suspended from there.
There you go. There you go. It's a lie. Elon Musk is not some frontier for freedom of speech. It's not, that is a lie. That's a bogus, it's a bogus expectation, honestly, that you would think a guy like Elon would do that. Come on.
It's not a free speech platform. Don't kid yourself.
It's a joke. Oh, Elon. No, dude, this guy.
He's going to save us all. Yeah.
Oh, please.
Well, I don't think he's going to do that, you know.
No.
I mean, I'm not an Elon Musk guy or nothing, you know. I mean, I've seen it. He's done some good things. He's done some stupid things. But so is Bezos. Most of what Bezos done has not been for the public.
No, it's been for his own self.
It's been for his bank account.
Yeah, why do you think he was one of the only companies left running when everybody else was getting shut down? You know, he had enough money to bribe the Congress to say, hey, you got to let me stay open. And they did. Okay, fine. Thanks for the money. You get to stay open. You know, mom and pops did not have the money to bribe their congressman to advocate on their behalf. I know.
Well, Congress, Magris.
Well, Angelica, when she had her salon going.
Half of them have dual citizens. Citizenships should not be allowed in Congress. Sorry.
It should not be allowed in Congress.
Sorry. I mean, this is how the small businesses were surviving. They were getting people in and out the back door of their businesses in order to be able to even keep afloat. And I know because Angelica was doing that. She papered up the windows on her salon and, you know, call in, get them in through the door and lock the door back up. There's nobody here. But big businesses like Amazon and Costco and all the rest of it, they got to keep their doors open and continue to make more money because there was nowhere for anybody else to go. So, yeah, I'm pardon me if I don't have a lot of sympathy for Musk or Bezos or any of the other ones who pulled that scam off on everybody.
I don't give a rat's ass about them. I don't care at all. I love their little antics. I think it's hilarious. I make memes all day long out of, you know, the GFY, right? I celebrate it all day. It's one of my go-tos, that language. It's one of my go-tos. So when I watched it, and the first time I saw it, it was hilarious. And if you look at the reactions from, you know, Tucker Carlson and who's the guy who's got the Blaze television, Blaze network?
Glenn Beck.
They all support this language. I support the language. I do. It's time we start pushing back with this language so that we can start to develop an overall attitude in the public. The public needs to become slightly hostile, not to the matter towards like each other, the divisive nature. They need to start understanding that they've been set up and duped. They've been positioned against each other on purpose. And if we can turn all of that hostility into a positive hostile environment where the hostile now is redirected, and it's redirected towards the direction of those who are really at fault, of those who are to blame, those who are responsible for the divisive nature of our current timeline. It's this timeline that we're in right now that's really given us an incredible opportunity. It's not all negative. It's not all hijacker doom and gloom. What we're giving an opportunity for right now in this timeline is to write the history books. Write the history books, because the winners that write the history books.
Yeah, so no problem. See, I got no problem using that kind of language either. Believe me, I use it a lot. But when you're standing,
real quick, I got to go. I have a mission I have to accomplish. I just want to say it's been nice being on here with you all. And all I'll right. be, you know, a few hours. Everybody have a great Sunday.
All right, you have a good one.
Donate.
As well, right? See, but like I said, I don't have a problem with any of that language either. But when you get into some of the crowds that I've been in front of in this part of the country, you start running off at the mouth like that, they're going to kick you out of the place. Even if they agree with you, they don't want to hear that kind of language, which makes it kind of tough because – Well, because, you know, sometimes you really want to go off on some of these people, you know, that are up there doing the presentation.
It's the president, CEO of Disney. It's Bob Iger, the marketing guy. You have Elon Musk being blackmailed because he refuses to censor and take off news stories and cover and censor where he can anyways. He refuses to do it, so he's losing these sponsorships. This is all part of the plan. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the one guy, I wouldn't care who I was standing in front of, but if Anthony Fauci ever crossed my path, I'm gonna absolutely go ballistic on the guy. Okay, I absolutely effing hate Anthony Fauci with a passion for what he did to this country and everywhere else on the planet too.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say what he did for humanity. Period.
Yeah, I mean, but anybody needs to be swinging from a rope, it's that guy.
Well, when it comes to that line, I'm just glad Kissinger passed away. Over.
I want to know where he's buried so I can go pee on his grave.
Exactly.
That's all I want to know.
No, that dude's probably frozen. Those kind of minds. They would like to have the ability to take that brain and recultivate it in another body. They love those brains. Those brains, they're soulless figures. They're evil incarnates.
Well, do you ever
the Kissingers of the world, the Bibi Netanyahu's of the world, the Soros's of the world, these individuals.
Did you ever hear the David Icke story that he told when he was in England and he got backstage and one of the prime ministers was back there? And I guess this guy was a real scumbag. And Icke said when he looked at the guy and the dude looked back at him, the guy's eyes went completely black. And he said, it was the freakiest damn thing I've ever seen.
I don't believe much of David Icke. I mean, the guy pretty much tried to pass himself off as Jesus Christ at one time.
Really?
Well, you know, you got to take
a little stretch.
You
got to
take part of it, and you can't dismiss the whole thing. Right, some of the stuff he says is pretty good.
Well, he also he had his wife there for so many years. And then when they decided to get a divorce, he accused her of being a reptilian.
I didn't hear that one.
You know?
Yeah. Well, again, you know,
they told us. V was a television series.
I remember.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was twice. Two times it was a television series.
Yeah. And the second time was that hot girl from the TV series Firefly.
Yeah, Marina Baccarin.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, they don't lie to us. You take a look at The Simpsons; they tell us. I'm fully convinced right now that Trump will be president. By the way, fully convinced.
I don't doubt there's a possible reptilian race.
Trump will be the president. They won't go to the unless they shut down the country for an illness. That would be the only way.
You know they're looking for an excuse.
Hey, Nick, yeah. You owe me a Coke.
Why do I owe me a Coke?
Because we said Firefly at the same time, and first one to claim the Coke, you owe him a Coke, you know?
Well, if you can come up here and get it, I'll buy you one.
Not that I would even want to drink.
Yeah, Coca-Cola.
You know?
You need your daily dose of aspartame. Come on.
These brands are responsible. Yeah. You go to other countries and you don't find the chemicals in the foods like you do here.
Our food can't be sold in Europe.
Our food can't be sold in many other countries.
Yeah, but at least we don't put formaldehyde in our beer, so.
Hey, I got a thought. You're talking about the, I believe it is in Canada, wherever, and what province, whatever it's called, they allow any kind of drugs, so why can't they start selling the original Coke, that had codeine in it?
Cocaine?
The cocaine,
yeah. Is it legal?
Well, not there because, you can do anything you want,
Where?
Is it Canada or am I thinking?
No, it's
there's
actually,
somewhere
yeah.
in the.
It's actually
there's
Washington
somewhere in the
State.
World. I don't remember where it is, but you can do any drug you want. And
are
it's
you
legal.
Thinking of Amsterdam?
The Norwegian company, the countries are. Hard drugs are legal.
Are you talking about Amsterdam, though?
I don't know where it is in the world, but they should start making the original Coca-Cola in that country.
You can go over there and start cleaning pennies with it.
Yeah. And don't forget you can clean your battery poles, too.
Yeah.
Toilet. Your toilet.
Jake, show me a good...
It eats, it's an acid, and it'll eat any kind of rust up.
Yeah, battery cables.
Or corrosion.
Right.
Yeah, they really...
Well, you know, I think that would be one step better than where Jer-Bear years ago talked about ingesting turpentine to kill the bugs in your gut.
Really?
Yeah, okay, that's a new one.
No, it's not.
No.
Decades.
People would drink turpentine?
No.
Pour down cuts, too.
Drops on sugar cubes. Oh.
Well, if you got some gut rot,
Jer did it, and
oil of oregano.
Jer did it.
There's a difference between pharmaceutical and commercial grades, people.
Yeah, Jer did it.
No, he was talking about going to Walmart and buying turpentine off the counter.
Walmart.
You know?
Yeah, he was one of the reasons we got in trouble with the FBI. that whole group.
I remember that.
Yeah. Turpentine, the stuff I use to clean paintbrushes with, and you're going to take it and you're going to eat the stuff? I don't think so. Man,
no, I mean, just like micro drops, you know. You know, everything's good for you unless you take it, take too much of it, and then it'll kill you. You know, like turpentine.
Oh, bull. Good. Yeah, for God's sake, Daryl. For God's sake.
Yeah, arsenic, I wouldn't want it by the drop, or cyanide, or any of it.
Yeah, Daryl, sometimes I don't understand you. I
said micro drops.
He's a country boy.
No, dude, no. Yeah. You got to have a line in the sand sometimes, bro. I mean, feel free.
Well, you have to understand the difference between micro, nano, it's...
You don't take anything that's going to harm you.
Listen, well, I'm just saying, those components are in everything.
There's idiots out there that hear this and then they go out and try it and they end up dead. No, it ain't happening.
Remember, Jim.
We're not allowed to tell people to take anything.
Good.
I'm not saying to take it at all.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm just saying every component exists in such a very small, minute particle that it exists.
You sound to me very much like you were advocating for it.
No, I'm not.
Sorry, Daryl, that's out of order.
Okay, you got to remember this, though, too. I mean, this is how you got to remember the American people, especially. And especially with the fake stream media that we have, remember when they went off on saying that Trump told everybody to drink bleach?
Oh, geez.
Okay, that's how they would twist
toilet
something
paper
shortage. Like
you know this, right? The same week in every newspaper, just about every mainstream newspaper in the country, on the front page, I got to repeat this, on the front page of the newspaper was toilet paper shortage. Guess what was on the back page of the newspaper?
What?
The planet Uranus had a gas explosion.
I remember that.
It's real. I'm not making this up. They toy with us. They play games with us.
Well, something I also remember is that exactly 1 year before Trump did that chlorine bleach that everybody did not
so
even listen to his words.
Out of
just,
context.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. Exactly. Exactly. 1 year before he said that, the band 21 Pilots made a music video called Chlorine. Look it up.
So? Yeah, well, idiots were eating Tide Pod too, laundry detergent. I mean, you can't play around with that shit.
iPods.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, honestly, though, I mean, there's some sadness to it. Yeah, you don't want people to die. You don't want unfortunate things to happen. You don't want the destruction of humanity. At the same time, biodiversity is a real thing in the animal kingdom. And I believe that there are traces of biodiversity happening here as the human race begins to head towards really – it's about your level of understanding, your level of discernment.
You really want to get rid of the stupid people, take the warning labels off everything.
Exactly. We don't need to tell you it's hot. You should expect it to be hot. It's called common sense. All right? Well, you spill on your lap, you'll get to sue McDonald's. Okay?
Well, no,
if you eat McDonald's and you get sick and die because the beef is not beef. You don't get to sue.
I don't think you even need to take the warning labels off of stuff, because remember when you were growing up, all the plastic bag says, do not put this over your head.
And
then,
yeah.
But then during COVID, people were putting the plastic bags on their head.
Oh, I know. It was.
Do we need a purge? It sounds like a purge is a good idea at this point.
Hey, take a look at Canada. You know, Canada is totally supporting suicide. I mean, Canada looks to me like the TV series Futurama, and they have these pay booths go in there and put a quarter in to commit suicide. That's what Canada has become.
I heard you say that exact same thing on a show 3 days ago. And Daryl, you're right. Was that last time that you said it? Maybe. Yeah, you're right. Futurama. It's a great episode. I've seen the episode you're talking about. Maids. Medically assisted induced death system. It is a government sponsored.
They're trying to implement that here in Michigan.
I believe it. And you want to know who the biggest customer is of the product? And you want to know the law that got passed along with this product? That minors over 12 did not have to share it with their parents. And their parents just get a letter. Oh, your kid's dead. They came in and they didn't want to live
anymore. What do you want
us to
do with the body?
What do you want us to do with the ashes? Whatever. Yeah. Oh yeah, don't you know?
You know, that's something that I'm what do you want to call him, creator or God or whatever? I feel there's a reason he sent me to live where I'm living, because one thing I'm very proud of this state is every time that bullshit happens, is, you know, they make a law against it. Well, yeah, a lot of these laws have been fought down, you know, because of the rule of law, you know, taking stuff to court and stuff. But you know one thing is, back when the COVID thing was hitting hard on, is in Washington State, they told people, you cannot go fishing. And then here in Arkansas, they did the opposite thing. They said, hey, you can go fishing, but not only you can go fishing, but we are going to delete the fishing license requirement. You can go fishing and not have to have a license to go fishing. Over.
Well, that makes sense, too, because if they were shutting down the small businesses, you know, people need to still eat. So why not? I mean, there is a rule out there, too, that you don't even need a license to go hunting or fishing. If you subsist off the land, you just have to prove that 80% of your your food source comes from, you know, living off the land and not from the supermarket.
I've heard about that.
So as long as you can say, hey,
yeah,
look.
The two of you talk the same conversation on another show.
You know, they do the again, it's just we have to be aware of these types of situations. We have hatcheries in the United States. I'm surrounded by a bunch of hatcheries over here in these mountains, and they stock these lakes. And I'm just very, very curious as to these hatcheries, the feeding process, how they get the growth, what they're putting in them, in their bodies, and then they're putting them in these lakes. They're putting them in natural ponds, natural lakes.
Well, you know what the one that really kind of...
Oh, they've got a new system that liquefies the body down to nothing but a couple of pounds of chemicals
now,
called liquefaction.
Yeah. I've seen that. And then that, they just pour you down the drain.
That sounds exactly like the talk about the whatever part of that desert area is in the United States, you know, deep down in the ground where the alien bases were, and they went down in there and they saw these like pools, you know, where they're liquefying, you know, humans, and that was their source of food. It reminds me of the old black and white Twilight Zone movie, or whatever it was. Yeah, the book, you know, and then he realized it was a cookbook, how to eat humans.
Oh yeah, the Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, how to serve man.
But anyway, yes. Mac, mechanic, there's one thing, because you brought up the hatcheries that they have in California. And because they use this as an excuse to shut off the water pretty much for everybody, how come they never had a hatchery for the Delta smelts? You know, and started restocking those, and that way they wouldn't be endangered anymore.
Yeah, they pick and choose, you know.
Yeah.
The trout industry, it up here, it's an industry. It's not just a hobby up here. This is fishing is an industry up here. You have fishing associations up here. All right. You have trophies. You have tournaments take place. I mean, you have fly fishing tournaments. Too. You have tours. You can go and go on a fly fishing tour up here where you learn from the best. So when they went to shut down fishing like they did in COVID up here, I think they did it in 2 years or just the 1 year they might have canceled the fishing season. There was some uproar. There was some, because it's a lot of the finances go out the window too. You cancel the fishing season during the summer. In the fall, this townie pays financially. They lose a lot. And right now,
that's something I also love about here in Arkansas. When you buy a fishing license, it goes from 1 year from the day you buy it. There's no season, because I was raised in North Dakota, and it was between, I forget, November or something like that until March. There was no fishing, and then you could fish only, you know, through the following months. And
fishing here too.
Well, here's my other question for that one, though. Why do you need a license to fish and hunt?
Well,
so they can track.
It's government control, right?
Of course. They control absolutely. Us.
Yeah, it's government control. But the thing is I don't know if any of you all, probably no one here has heard of Roaring River in southern Missouri, right?
No.
And Roaring River State Park. And it's a spring, a really deep, deep spring that comes up out of the ground. And flowing a lot of water, and therefore, you know, it's cold. So there's a trout fishery, you know, run by the state. And so there's all these trout. So down along the bank on March 1st, at a particular time, they have like a big old, like a blowhorn, you know, like the lighthouses used to do, you know, and they blow that horn and people, there are so many people there, they're standing shoulder to shoulder to cast out once that horn blows. And all those people are getting tangled up in their own lines. It's crazy. It's sick as shit, you know? Over.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much everywhere. But I still don't think that we should have to pay the government to feed ourselves.
I agree.
Everything's been twisted. We've been hijacked. Everything, all of it. I'll tell you, the whole system, the entire system is against us. There's nothing for us in the system. Even the welfare plan is against us. The safety net is against us.
Well, yeah. If people research about the welfare system, the banking system and all the rest of that, you'll find that the whole, yeah, like you said, the whole system is not there for our benefit. It's there to benefit other people.
No, it's
they
it's
make money for everything.
Everything is a struggle. You cannot exist without money. That is ridiculous. The human existence cannot remain without money. You have to have money to be a human. And that, to me, is just sad. You can,
but you're going to be so far off grid, man. You might as well call yourself Grizzly Adams or something.
True.
Because you're going to be building your own house
there's cities that you have to have electricity. You can't live in the house.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're one of these guys and you got the ability to do it, you go off up into the mountains or the woods somewhere and you just live off the land, period. I don't think there's probably 100 people on the planet left that could actually do that now, not with the way the system is set up.
It's a lot more than that. The technology, see, look, that's the thing, Nick. You have to dip your toes in the water to find the temperature, right? And that's how I learned. I went out there, spent a little time, went out there, spent some more time, went out there, spent some more time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go in confidence, and there's a lot of people that do this. So you gain the basic understanding and principles of nature and what to expect, especially up here.
But you also got to remember, to go completely off grid that way, you're taking a big risk, because if you're out in the middle of nowhere, like you're out in the woods hunting and it's wintertime and you get yourself screwed up and you get yourself into a situation, chances are you may not be getting out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so, that's the risk you take.
A lion doesn't go around asking the sheep how dangerous life is.
Hey, you know what's really sick is I was looking into the rules and regulations of the city that I live in, and I looked in there and I found out that one of their rules is you have to maintain your premises, you know, the place you live in, you have to maintain a temperature of at least 68 degrees. In the wintertime. I mean, is that...
How are they going to know?
Heart meters.
Well, apparently they don't know, but I mean...
I mean, are they going to send an inspector around to your house with a thermometer saying you need to take the temperature of your house?
Smart meters tells them everything.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, that and the gas meters and all that stuff, but how do we know if you're burning wood, you know?
Well, it was funny because one year when I was out in California, when I leave here, I shut everything down. Okay, I turn off all the gas. I turn off anything electric that doesn't need to be on. So my house pretty much goes dead in the winter. I got a letter from the utility company. They sent it to me in California, and they're like, hey, we noticed that you're not using any gas. It's like, yeah. Well, you know, is everything okay? Well, it's none of your business, but thanks for your concern. So they were like, I don't think they cared whether or not I was there. They were like not getting any money from me using their product, I think was their big concern.
Well, that's something that when I was living in Missouri, living in a trailer park, you know, I owned my own trailer, you know, rented the lot, you know,
mm-hmm.
And when I first moved there, I was on propane. Then they brought gas in. Then I hooked up to natural gas, and then in the summertime they were still charging me. I mean, charging me this money for not even using any gas, and they said, well, yeah, you know, whether you use gas or not, you have to pay so much a month, you know.
I
disconnected my gas, and I took two 200 watt light bulbs and put it in the bottom of my gas hot water here to heat the water, you know. Yeah. But where I live today, right now, is I'm on natural gas, and so in the summertime, the only thing that is burning is like the pilot light of my water heater. And I actually, they showed on the bill that I use $3.75 of natural gas, right? And they charge me the delivery fee to deliver that $3.76 of gas. They charge me $6.96 to deliver that $3 shit part of gas.
Yeah, the service fees cost more than what you actually use, and it's the same thing with electricity.
Yeah, and then you got to put it on counting and county tax, state tax, and all that stuff on top of it. You know?
Yeah, I get a bill, and I might use $7, $8, maybe $15 worth of gas or something, and my bill still comes out to be $60-something because of all the other fees that they tack on top of it.
Sounds like you're getting screwed way worse than me.
Well, that's the energy company that we're signed on to, and I don't have a choice to switch to somebody else. They all own their territories.
I'm going to drop out too. I've got things I got to get done before the day.
Yeah,
ends,
we got 10 minutes.
I'm going to drop out.
Well, have a good one.
Have a good week, lady.
Appreciate you joining us.
Okay, see you soon, Terry.
Take care of your animals, lady.
But that's
going to.
Not just she's going to let them starve, right? But that's the scam. You don't use hardly anything, and they still charge you all this extra money. For what?
That's the way my internet is.
Yeah, I don't know. My internet's pretty straightforward. I pay one fee for the month, and I use as much as I want to.
Well, I do the same, but I'm. Well, my internet is also on my phone bill, but
I dropped my phone bill. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I should say I got my phone bill.
Yeah, Terry, you owe me another Coke, man. You go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. I got my phone system set up a little bit differently. I pay for my internet, and then my phone system costs me $120 for 5 years of service and nothing else. And I can call anywhere in the 48, and I don't pay anything extra for it at all. That's it.
That's a good deal compared to mine.
Yeah. Well, because my phone runs through my internet system. But the thing is I can take my phone as long as I can connect to internet somewhere, I can take my phone with me anywhere I go.
Oh, that's way better than.
Yeah. So if I can log on to like somebody else's internet, like some places got free internet service, I can make phone calls everywhere. It doesn't really matter. And I'm not paying anything extra.
In my situation, drop my phone bill to the very minimum because I have to have a phone to be able to have internet, right? Because it's through the phone line. And so I drop my phone bill down to the very minimum I can do. And what my phone is I can do 800 numbers, and which is how I pay my bills, right? I can call 800 numbers and it doesn't charge me nothing. But if I was to call someone across the street or someone across the street calls me, it costs me 10 cents a minute.
Yeah, and then, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, and then I have – then the internet is included, and that is costing me $87 a month.
Yeah. Well, see, my internet cost me somewhere around there too, so it's about the same. I just don't pay anything extra for phone. I mean, the only – except for the cell phone that I have. That one does, but my landline, I don't pay anything extra for it. And I get 5 years of pretty much service.
That's why my phone service I actually do, which is how I'm talking on right now, is I do the $45 a month straight talk. And after you pay all the fees and fines, it's more like $54,
Well, if you got internet, why don't you put Skype on it? Because Skype works the same way.
Well,
you don't have
we
to pay
need
anything extra for it.
Everyone here on Revolution Radio knows my story on that.
it's an idea though. But
I know. I tried it and it got screwed up trying to do it.
I remember when it got screwed up. That was a big when Microsoft fiddled with the software.
When they sold it and they added 500 million damn numbers from Google to it.
Yeah, it messed everything. And we couldn't even do the radio show hardly because it kept screwing up so bad. Yeah. So remember I got into it with Nighthawk about that, and he basically slapped me across the head, you know, figuratively, and told me to, you know, shut up. There's nothing we can do about it. It's not our fault.
The way I look at it is the government watches me enough. I don't need them to watch me.
You're not that important for them to even worry about you.
That's what I say.
Well, I'm pretty much of a big asshole, so people want to get back at me, you know? And especially the government.
That ain't the government.
At this point, if you weren't...
There's somebody in Washington going, Daryl over there, ain't he a pain in the ass?
You just hear what he said this morning? I mean, unless you were in Washington, D.C. on the Capitol on January 6th, they pretty much don't care.
Oh, and all the tapes disappeared?
Yeah, all the committee tapes disappeared.
Well, then that means that they should drop all the charges then because they got no proof.
Well, speaking of which, you know, they've released all that video. So, you know, this shit's going to hit the fan now, you know, because once all these people start watching all those videos and see what is really going on. Oh, you know, that's going to backfire on them.
Did you just
hear what I said? They lost them.
Yeah. They lost the January 6th committee tapes, the transcripts, stuff. The video
the thing
still
is, the thing now is, as they're going after the J6 committee from the fraud that they did on those fires.
Daryl, point of order. Painter, they didn't lose the videotapes of J6. They lost, supposedly, the J6 committee tapes.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Well, who lost their job?
Of bullshit. Go ahead.
Well, who lost their job over that? Somebody should have lost their job, period.
Nobody's going to lose their job.
We've got about 3 minutes, by the way.
Right. And before we get out of time, one thing I wanted to say is I support Trump as president and Marjorie Taylor Greene as vice president. Over.
Oh, whatever you like.
If you saw one of the last Tucker Carlson interviews with Marjorie Taylor Greene, she rang my vote in for sure. Awesome woman. Awesome frickin' woman.
Well, remember, folks, this is we're down to the wire here at the station. And we really do need to do something or we're going to end up doing what we're talking about. Now, everything's still up in the air and we don't exactly know what we're doing yet. So I was just wanting to get a warning out there to what we're, you know, have a mind to possibly do in order to keep going. We don't want to shut down. We want to keep going. We've been doing this for so long and we think we're doing something that is beneficial to the people.
So break out your checkbooks. I mean, time's tough, but, you know, you're not going to find another station like this anywhere.
Absolutely no.
Well, I was going to make an extra payment to dwindle down my credit card bill, but, yeah. I'm going to put that on hold.
Well, we're not asking anybody to hurt themselves either now.
I'd rather hurt than to see Revolution Radio go away.
We have plenty of listeners out there who actually have jobs and who have money, you know?
I mean, we're not asking for Alex Jones kind of money, okay?
Oh, no.
Why not? Sure, why not?
Don't get me wrong. We'd absolutely take it if somebody...
We'd take it, I imagine. I don't know. I would feel bad about taking a $1,000 donation. I would.
That can happen. No. We're here. Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Kind of money, then send that kind of money.
I would give it.
I appreciate y'all joining me today. Next is Robert Morningstar of Morningstar Report, and it's kicking in, and we sure enjoyed it. And thank y'all for joining me. This is Revolution.Radio.
Love
you. Bye, everybody.
You will take care.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.